Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your host for Chatterbox.
Welcome to Chatterbox, everybody. It is Sunday, December 4th. My name's Alon, and this is Nate.
Hey, folks. How's it going?
There he is. Now, today is a podcast-only show, so for those of you who listen to our other podcast-only show, you knew, of course, that we're allowed to do whatever the hell we want.
We're not going to open up with swearing again, are we?
No, I don't think we are, but right. At least we're not bound by the rules of the FCC. You know, we're not big fans of the censorship here.
Well, unless we're on C-SPAN, then apparently you can swear a lot.
Yeah, on C-SPAN, you really, again... Just like podcast, only you're allowed to do whatever you want, because, you know, they're cable, aren't they? I mean, it was, like, a really high-numbered channel.
Is it? I thought you could get them on, like, just the antenna, too.
I thought you could. I mean, it seems like a reputable news organization.
Yeah, you'd
but
think so.
Maybe they don't have the rules apply to them, either. Or maybe they just think they're special.
They make the rules, so they're above the rules.
Yeah. Later in the show, today's actually a very special show. We're going to be running really long today, because, well, again, since it's podcast, we can... and a lot of you have seen things in the news lately from the annual video game report done by the National Institute on Media and Family or something. The guy who heads that up is David Walsh. He's also the guy who basically ranted about how Jack Thompson was a big tool and shouldn't be using his name, David Walsh, I mean, to say basically make it sound like they're friends.
Sounded like a good guy, but in actuality, after we saw his little conference there...
I'm still convinced he's a good guy, but I'm a little concerned about the way he's displaying his facts to the media in that annual
They're very skewed. Not that we know that they're skewed, but he presents them in a way that can be interpreted as maybe not the whole truth.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that more. We're going to save that for the end, because since it's an hour long, it's actually something like 45 minutes we're going to run. We're going to do like this Mystery Science Theater bit where we just sort of talk over it or stop, but like... I want you all, because right now all you've been doing is reading online and, you know, blogs and whatever, video game blogs and things, and Slashdot, about just, you know, little clips or what someone said, but you probably weren't like me recording it on C-SPAN, right? So we're going to present it to you, the whole thing, and we're also going to comment ourselves, but you're going to have the chance to actually hear it. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, you get to. And if not, you can listen to the show and just sort of stop and not listen to those 45 minutes or an hour, because for some it could be really boring. But
there'll
at least
some dead parts, but for the most part, we had stuff to say. I know we were making a lot of comments during it. I know we had to stop quite a bit.
Yeah.
So.
But the good thing is that at least you'll get to hear it without... you know, people truncating it. It's the same thing we did with the Thompson interview. Remember that 80 minutes, Nate?
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't cut any of that out because we wanted to give you guys the option to hear everything rather than just, you know, hearing our one side of it. You got to hear both sides because we introduced it all to you. So let's move on with the show, and at the end we'll do the whole thing we just talked about with the annual video game report. But usually we start off the show talking about the games we've been playing. Now, I wasn't sure if I wanted to do the show today. I felt a little nauseous because we were just watching Spike TV's Ultimate Gamer.
That show is so good. That is quality programming right there.
Yeah, I kind of want to die, in fact. It was a tough one to watch. I don't know if you guys have seen it. And they have commercials, every commercial break for the Spike TV Video Game Awards. And I've learned, I'm not a three strikes man. I think three strikes is way too much. I give you one chance to improve yourself, take care of your mistakes, and then the third time, it's too late. You've already cried wolf. I will not be watching the Spike TV Video Game Awards this year, and because we know they're going to suck. In fact, we already talked... I think a couple weeks ago.
We also know as soon as the musical acts are over, everyone's going to leave.
Exactly. It's going to suck no matter what. And that's proven by the audience exodus that we discussed a couple weeks ago, based on the news reports from the room.
But Jack Black will be on it, and you know.
Missy Elliott.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So what have I been playing lately? Nate is in my living room right now, and he's probably... able to see the guitar laying on the ground over there, because I finally picked up Guitar Hero, and it is fantastic. Did you like it? Did you even try it, Nate?
I played it with you at PAX. That wasn't Guitar Hero, it was the other one.
It's a different game. You played Guitar Freaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be willing to play it. I probably would like to, but just not at that moment when you were over at Heather's.
Your lady, she liked it.
She did like it.
She actually insinuated that I should bring it over and let her play it yesterday. I don't know if you realize that. She did want me to bring it over because it's that good. Me and my roommate, my roommate and I, very much into that game, and I've already played through all the main songs and unlocked all the new secret ones. I just haven't played those yet. It's fantastic, though. Kind of hard, but really good, and I definitely recommend getting it. One of the cool things I did, though, is that I only have a third-party guitar controller for my Guitar Freaks game by Konami. I've had that for years, and I basically never use it because the third-party guitar I have is crap. And the quality of the controller produced by Red Octane for Guitar Hero, it's actually very high. The problem is it doesn't interface with Guitar Freaks properly. I don't know why they did that, because Red Octane's very aware of Bimani Music games. I'm surprised they made it not really compatible. It's very close, though. One of the settings you can use for Guitar Freaks, I think it's the third controller setting. And actually, for the DualShock controller, you flip it upside down and you actually play it sort of like a simulated guitar. Of course, you're using this tiny little controller, so it's difficult. But if you put it on that setting, then the Guitar Hero controller is very close. The second, the third, and the fifth buttons interface with Guitar Freaks as the first, second, and third buttons. So I actually opened it up, I rewired it, and put in a switch. So my Guitar Hero controller now has a switch on it. I can put it into Guitar Freaks mode so that the three middle buttons, instead of 2, 3, and 5, it's now 2, 3, and 4 that interface with Guitar Freaks. So now I have my Guitar Hero controller, and the very same controller is now my Guitar Freaks controller if I flip the switch. If anybody's really interested, I could write a tutorial or something for the internet, but I hate doing that because, you know, it takes time. But if anyone cares a lot, maybe I could describe how to do it. It's a very simple process. Of course, you need to know how to solder, so if you don't plan on soldering, don't ask. So that's it. I love Guitar Hero. Nate, you touched anything this week, or you just want to comment on all the Xbox 360
stuff?
Well,
I played a lot of 360. I actually played Fear for a little bit, too. Fun game, awful ending. I'm not going to ruin it for people, but I was very unimpressed with the ending. Actually, kind of pissed off by the ending. But that's just me. As for the 360 games, I got to play Condemned. I guarantee you that I'm going to buy this game as soon as I get my 360, because that game is really, really fun. It's very linear, and if you do look at it in a certain way, like Alon looks at everything, you will instantly be bored with it. I thought it was very good. Basically, I get a lot of joy out of tasering people, and then with a fire axe, I punch them in the face with the butt of it and knock their teeth out. And I did this many, many times. And I had so much fun with it.
This is a game, people might remember when I came back from E3, I said I played one game at E3, and the others I just watched people play, because, you know, there's too many people to actually wait and get some time in on the system. So the one game I played was Condemned, and I forgot the name of it at the time, but it was Condemned, and I thought it was horrible. I give it slightly better ratings after trying it out for myself on a real 360, but...
You didn't play it for that long, though.
I mean, I played for a good 20 minutes, I think. And, it's better than I originally thought, which is really the case of most games I play at E3, because it's hard to get into a game that, you know, you're playing and you know you have to leave in a minute. But I don't think I'm as big a fan as you are. I'm still... It's not a buyer, in my opinion.
You're totally wrong. That's all I have to say. Well, listen, you buy Guitar Freaks, and that's a game I would never buy. So, you know, I'll let you have that. Also, Call of Duty 2, multiplayer, really fun. I played that for a long time.
Have you guys figured out if you can play Call of Duty system-linked with more than one player per unit for Xbox?
I do not know that. We only had one 360 at the time. But I want to say you could. I don't see why not. I don't see why they would take that feature out.
Yesterday, Andrew was saying that they couldn't figure out how to do it. They couldn't figure out how to add players on a single Xbox when playing over System Link. And
really?
If that's the case, first of all, I'd be very surprised, just because if the system can handle split screen, it should be able to handle split screen well networked. So I don't know what the problem is there. I don't think their concern would be network bandwidth, because clearly it can handle multiple players in other games. So... hopefully it can do it. I have not given it a try. I have never played Call of Duty 2 except on a demo at, you know, the Target when we were getting screwed.
Yeah. Well, another game I played, I'm going to ask you for the name. It started with a K. It's like... Kamari.
Cameo.
Cameo. Yeah. Very fun game. I didn't play it single player. I played it co-op. And I played for maybe about, I'd say like 35 to 45 minutes, and I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I really don't have anything other to say than I really liked it.
I think I probably won't buy it.
It's not my type of game, but I did have fun while I was playing it.
I think I've talked about it in the past. When I played it for the original Xbox 2 E3s ago, I really liked it. The gameplay itself hasn't changed at all, to my knowledge. I think they just souped up the graphics and stuff to ship to the 360. I originally played it for, I think, the Nintendo 64, or maybe I played the GameCube version. I don't know, years ago when Rare was still with Nintendo. Like 3 or 4 E3s ago, I think 4. And I liked it back then, although the game has changed a hell of a lot since then. But yeah, I've always liked it. I definitely recommend playing it. Maybe if it's an adventure game, so you might want to only rent it. But yeah, definitely a good game. So I agree with you, Nate.
Really? Wow, that's a surprise.
Yeah. It doesn't happen a lot these days.
Not a lot.
All right, so that's what we've been playing. We've got a couple of minutes before we go to break, maybe just 1 minute. So I will talk about what we're going to do in the rest of the show. Like I said, we're going to be running our Mystery Science Theater style show to go along with the annual video game report.
For those of you who don't know what Mystery Science Theater 3000 is, basically we're going to play the show and then we're going to make comments, hopefully funny ones, on top of that. And hopefully you'll find that amusing.
See, I tend to be less funny. I tend to be more political and serious. For those who haven't listened to the show much, maybe you didn't know that. I think it'll lend itself to being funny on certain occasions, because some of the stuff said is a little crazy, but a lot of it is really serious, so it's going to be hard to make it all very funny. Nate does a good job, though.
I try.
All right. Now, also, I have a question for everybody, but unfortunately, since we're only doing a podcast, I'm not going to take phone calls like in the radio station. But I do want to talk about reselling a system. What I mean is, you know, people who waited in line, got their Xbox 360s and sold it. You may have seen news reports. eBay released the fact that apparently 40,000 Xbox 360s have been sold through eBay. Now, I don't know if they took out, like, the ones that didn't really sell, if they just meant auctions, but the stories I'm seeing are that they've sold 40,000 on eBay. I remember saying that I would figure half of them sold would be on eBay. Of course, I was exaggerating, but still, 40,000 represents about 10% of the American distribution of the Xbox 360. It's probably actually more, because people are analyzing that Microsoft released 300,000 to 400,000, and considering all the shortages, I'm sure it's just as low as possible. So they probably have like less than 400,000 released. So 40,000 is a huge percentage landing on eBay, and people on our forums at chatterboxgameshow.com, they put up stuff about, or they were sort of questioning the ethics behind reselling your system, and I had something to say about it, and so I will read you guys what I said, or re-say it anyway, for the show today, because I have some things to say. And then, also, you'll remember in very recent shows, we talked about Target and our Xbox 360 experience. Nate and I both are still without Xbox 360.
Yes, we are. And I guess, 10 more days, they said?
Yeah, I mean, and that's just an estimate. Like, the guy told me, and I would have told him if he didn't tell me, it doesn't really matter until it's actually in our hands. We don't know the truth. They're sort of hoping that in 10 days we'll have it. I don't know if that means 10 business days or what, but he just said 10 days. So maybe we'll have them this month. Maybe.
Yeah,
no.
I'm hoping that I'll get it before I leave for home.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. I probably won't get it till the new year, and that's going to kind of be a bummer.
I really suspect that we will, because, I mean, Microsoft is releasing these. They claim they're going to have some for this weekend. I haven't seen any reports of a second shipment yet, and the weekend is now officially over. So, you know, that was a big lie. But I'm sure they'll have more. Unfortunately, they're dealing with the fact that they just released in Europe to basically the same problem. I don't know if you realize this, Nate, but they just released in Europe 2 days ago, Friday.
Yeah, I read about that.
Yeah, so not only do they have to stock the U.S., now they have to stock Europe. So I don't know how they're handling all the production stuff, but yeah, it's been hard to get the 360. Now, anyway, a lady responded or emailed me, someone who seems like probably a very nice lady, I don't know. She emailed me a little upset over the blog that I had written, where I had some negative things to say.
Well, mainly your personal attack.
Yeah,
poor manager.
Yeah, which, you know, you weren't so upset about yourself.
Not really.
Just so we're all clear.
I didn't feel to go and, you know, the need to do a personal attack. But I said, I don't care for her too much. First impressions are kind of hard to come back.
Well,
you know?
I'm getting at the fact that you also said you don't care that she got upset. And you're actually happy that she
got upset. If she got upset, you know, I'm glad. Because she should be sad and mad or whatever. She should feel what I felt that morning.
I just don't want you playing yourself off to be some sort of angel.
I don't think I've ever had the illusion that I was an angel.
All right.
Although I have called myself Jesus on several occasions, mainly for Halloween, though.
All right, so this lady emails me, and she's upset with it, and I will read her email, and I will respond to that as well, because I think, well, that could be funny, so we're going to do that. And we also have a very special exclusive report from new Chatterbox correspondent Ryan Mullen, who will be reporting on a new game later in the show today, so we will talk about that. For right now, though, we are going to break. We will be back in just a minute.
See you then.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show here on Sunday, December 4th. It's podcast only. That means we're free to do whatever we want and go as long as we want because it's a free country.
That's right.
So here we go. I said that during the second segment, or at least during some part of the show, we're going to be talking about reselling systems. It's a topic that was brought up on our forums. I welcome everybody to go to chatterboxgameshow.com and interject whatever they'd like. It's in the gamepad section of our forums. Is that a channel? Are they channels in forums?
I don't know forums. It's the second one down when you go to the main index.
All right, it's gamepad. So anyway, someone brought this up. And certainly it's relative to what's going on in our lives right now because I had said that I wanted to buy a system from Target, with the very explicit intention to sell on eBay. And
as did I in the beginning.
Yeah. Now, my rationale was, you know, I'll sell it, so I'll make a bunch of money so that I can then afford to actually buy one. I don't know if that's what all of our friends were planning on doing or just trying to profit off of it. Some people seem to think that there's a differentiation there and that it's more acceptable to do it with my intentions than with just the intentions of a general scalper. I sort of disagree. I think they're just as bad, really. It's hard to differentiate because you're really doing the same thing. Because you got to look at what's bad about it. For instance, Nate, do you think it's bad at all?
Not really. I mean, capitalism is capitalism, you know. If I want to, you know, it's kind of like if, well, I mean, I guess I really don't have to, you know, correlate it to anything else. But yeah, if I buy the Xbox and someone else really wants it from me, who doesn't want it as much, and they say, oh, you know, I want to buy it from you, or I suggest that I'd be willing to sell it for maybe a higher price, or a price that you feel is necessary to get it, and people start bidding on it, and if the highest person, you know, gives me a lot of large sum of money to get my Xbox, I have no problem with that. I don't feel that's wrong.
Now, you might say, we're actually catering to the Paris Hiltons of the world, the ones who are like, I don't care about money, I just want this little thing, I can get whatever I want with money, so I'll just buy it because I can afford it, and those are the people buying on eBay.
Oh, exactly. It's like those lawyers that play the MMOs, but, you know, they don't have the time, but they do have the money to buy someone that has, you know, worked very hard to build a good character. And they say, you know what, I'll just buy it from you, and then I can have the fun and not deal with all the work, because I can afford.
Do you feel good about yourself when you're catering to the rich assholes? Does that make you feel good inside?
Well, you know, like I said before, I'm a hollow husk of hate, so it doesn't bother me as much.
Did you say a hollow husk of hate?
That's right.
Wow. Okay, so here's what I think. I agree with you. Free market is free market. The economics in the United States claim that basically we get to do whatever we want when we're buying and selling things. Of course, there are some rules, but in this case, nobody's doing anything really illegal. But the problem here, like I said, is you're catering to the people with tons of money. Really, nothing wrong with that. The thing that people have an issue with is other folks are willing to wait in line for a long period of time, and then we take it away from whoever is, you know, the other people who waited in line and didn't get one, right? And so then we go and sell it to the person who really doesn't care but has a bunch of money. So that's the problem they have. Now, I say life especially in terms of waiting in line for a video game system, something which really doesn't affect your life in the long term. It's a game, right? If I'm willing to spend 12 hours outside of a Target to get my system, well then, I just won the game, or I worked harder, or whatever. Really, it's kind of pathetic, actually, but that's what's done. And actually, reading about the European launch, the article that I read about it said that some people waited up to 9 hours. And I'm like, 9 hours? I waited 12 and didn't even get one.
Yeah.
So screw off. Oh, wait, I can say it now. Fuck you. yeah, like, I'm still pissed off about that whole thing. But, you know, like I said, we just, well, if we had gotten systems, we would have won the game by waiting in line and you know, actually getting one. But here's what our forum member, Infinite Lives, had to say about it. He started the thread. Buying a 360 just to sell it, what do you think? And he says, a Best Buy here in Tulsa is getting 17 360s in soon, and a few of my friends are going to camp out and each get one. What's weird is I think he's talking about a second shipment, which is weird to me.
Well, with the shortages, I just seen that would happen. Because it seemed like not enough people that really wanted to get the system weren't going to get it on launch.
Yeah, the problem
so as
here
soon
is
as the next shipment came in, I could just see another wait out, you know.
Yeah, and I thought that too. The problem is, what's always great about launch day is that it's the only time you actually know they'll have a system. No retailer is ever going to tell you, yeah, we're going to have it on Monday, right? Because the problem is, for launch day, they have them ahead of time, so they can guarantee they will have them on launch day.
Oh, of course.
And that's the beauty of launch. That's why you see people waiting. You don't see people waiting the other days because you don't know when it's going to come. And nobody's going to... I mean, the manager wouldn't even let you wait outside, I think, because it could be a week.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, I'm going to read the rest of this. He continues to say, one guy is just going to turn around and sell it on eBay. And not in the lawn, sell it now so I can buy it later, which I think is fine. He said, I think it's fine. I'm not interjecting there. But just a straight-up sale. Now, as someone who actually wants a 360 to play instead of sell it, it would piss me off if some dude in front of me in line didn't want to play it. I realize it's going to be his system and he can do whatever he wants to with it, but I think the fact that there are other people who are dedicated enough to wait outside to buy a 360 won't get one because he wants to make a buck, which kind of sounds like Microsoft's own strategy, he says, now that he thinks about it. It's a really shitty thing to do. What do you think? People who buy 360s just for the cash, savvy or schmucky, he asks.
Well, for the people, in my opinion, people who are just selling it just to get the money, that seems, I don't know, wrong to me, just on a personal level. I mean, people can do whatever they want, but, like, to me, that would seem cheap. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't want to be that guy. Because,
yeah.
I mean, there are people that really, you know, legitimately want the system and they want to play it. I do, too. I'm short on funds and buying one and then, you know, reselling it, giving me, you know, an excess of money would then allow me to get it without a large strain to my budget.
For the record, I am that guy.
I am also that guy. I recently came into some money. I will not say how I came into this money, but let's just say I got it. And I was able to, you know, now afford one, and I wanted to keep it.
Little story. Nate moved into a new apartment. He lifted up the burners on his stovetop and found a big bag of cocaine.
And man, did I sell that so quick.
That's got a high street value. Now he's got a ton of cash. Or cashish, as I like to call it. So, yeah. See, I am the guy to capitalize on any situation to try and get money. And that's really very closely related to the fact that I have none to begin with. So, in a case where there's other people who are going to really lose out, and, you know, like kids who want to wait and get systems, I would feel bad, and so I would sort of resist that sort of temptation. In this case, I feel a little better knowing that, yeah, it's to fund my own system purchase later on, you know, a couple weeks later, because I am willing to wait a little bit,
because
I have, you know, tons of other games to play. So anyway, one last line that Infinite Lives wrote on our forums. He says, I think if he gets on my nerves enough, I'm just going to mention his plan very loudly in line. Now, other people think, of course, one way to avoid the problems of reselling it while waiting in line is simply not to mention it. I certainly tried not to mention it very much while we were waiting at Target.
Yes, you did not.
Only 12 people were there in line, and, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't want to create a ruckus. But at the same time, if someone flat out asked me, I would have gone ahead with it. Now, my response in this, and I was very happy about my response, and you'll hear it now. I said that I don't think the fact that I want the system later on should make a big difference. If I'm trying to exploit a situation, just like all the other assholes in line, you know, I'm still exploiting it. I might feel a little bit better knowing in my heart, you know, in my chest is the heart of a gamer. But that really doesn't mean that I'm doing anything better. And so, and that's how I feel. So if you think that it's bad to resell the system, really, I'm just as much of a prick as everybody else. But like we said before, we're in a free market economy. We get to do what we want. We're not breaking any rules, and everybody understands the rules of the game. If somebody really wants it that bad, they know they're going to have to wait in line. Especially nowadays, when we're realizing that you can make so much money off these systems, we're also realizing the amount of time we're willing to wait in line has gone up. And so if you want it, you're just going to have to wait in line. It's a bummer, but like I said, it's a game. Life is a game. Now, if there were a line of people waiting for life-saving drugs that I didn't need but could somehow make money off of them if I waited in line, I would not get in the way or get in that line, because it's a lot more important that people have lives, you know,
than Xboxes.
So there's a line. Like, I have ethics. It's just an Xbox, and I know that. And it might be strange
to
hear me say
that. So Alon would
have
no problem knocking over the 8-year-old that's walking towards the line, but there's only one space left. Alon would just hit him down and run onto the line.
Yeah, because it's... We're dealing with Xboxes here. So,
it's,
you know,
not
Nate
penicillin
I,
or anything.
We still have ethics. But I recognize the reality of the situation. And I would be upset. Like, if I were... You know, if I were in line and some kid had just saved up $400 to buy this Xbox and he just had enough money to buy the system and he'd waited in line as long as he could when his mother was willing to take him and whatever, like, I'd feel bad. And maybe I'd be the guy who breaks down and gives him my spot in line. But maybe not. I don't know. But certainly, if it's a matter more important than a video game, you're not going to see me exploiting that situation, and I'd like to think that no one else would as well. And, I mean, that's pretty much what I have to say. And other people have responded, and... nobody has really gone against what I've had to say and say that I'm a big jackass. I think that might just be because they're scared of me, since, like, I control the forum and whatever. I want to mention, by the way, feel free to say whatever you want in those forums, good or bad, about me.
I talk bad about Alon on a daily basis.
Yeah. I've said repeatedly in the past I'm not about censorship, and I'm not going to start monitoring these forums and changing things. I changed one thing where people posted up a picture of boobs because... I don't want to get in legal trouble having pictures of boobs on my site that, you know, I don't have a disclaimer saying you have to be 18 to read it or anything.
Yeah, I missed out on that, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not saying if anyone wants to send me that, but if they
I think someone found that picture on Flash Your Rack, which is something I pointed people to a long time ago. By the way, great website.
Yeah, you showed me that.
Yeah.
That was very nice.
So, but I had to take it down for that reason. But ordinarily, I won't be censoring our forums. Say you hate me, whatever. Just, you know, generally I ask that you tell the truth. That's all I ask. Now, this very well rolls into the next conversation I think we're going to have about the woman who wrote me she didn't like my blog post. Is there anything else we wanted to say about reselling systems? We had people
people on the IRC. I said, you know, if you'd like, they just happen to be on when we're doing the show right now. And I said, well, you know, give me your feelings on it, and, you know, if they're good, I'll, you know, read them. There was two that were all right. I'll read them right here. I'm not going to go in detail.
Just name who it is who wrote these.
FGP and then a bunch of numbers, which I'm not going to read. But he says, well, if there's a real shortage in systems and you just want to buy it and resell it immediately, then I'd say you should let the people that plan on actually using it, I think he meant to say, and enjoy it, get one. That's what he has to say about it.
And that makes sense.
I agree with him very much.
Except the fact that, well, we are still capitalistic.
Yes. I mean, I said, I don't feel any wrongness in, like, buying one just to sell it to maybe, you know, a Paris Hilton. But in return, I would get one for free, practically.
Should we try and make a topic about Paris Hilton every show?
We should.
Somehow throw it in there.
I think that would boost our ratings a little bit.
Yeah, apparently she gets ratings. I think Microsoft paid her something like $200,000 just to have a 360.
Yeah, what was her response when she said what she was going to play? Like, totally all the games that just came out or something like that?
You know, I didn't actually read the reports, but I heard that her response was just like, yeah, I'm going to play the games that came out for it, yay.
Wow.
Which is a very intelligent response.
Yes, very, very.
That's why she's always, you know, she's a favorite of ours, that Paris.
Oh, she's a blast.
So what else did people have to say?
Tech Paradox says, I'm not necessarily against it, but if you're going to do it, then don't let the guys in line around you know. Otherwise, you might be in for an ass beating, he says.
Our users are
very,
very emotive.
That's right.
I think. And eloquent, by the way. Yeah, I guess they didn't know we were going to read their stuff verbatim.
Yeah. Brooklyn Bluser wrote something, but it's very similar to FGP, so I won't go into it.
And it sort of kisses my ass, I believe.
A little bit. So we weren't exactly sure if he really meant that or was just trying to kiss your ass, which I can see, because a lot of people like to kiss your ass while on. You're a very influential guy when it comes to Poker Pub.
Yeah, the day that happens. What a day. All right, go ahead. What did he say?
Brooklyn Bluser wrote, I think if you're doing it just for profit, it's wrong. But in Alon's case, where you're selling it to be able to have the cash to get it and keep it, then it's fine. That's what he had to say.
So essentially what I'm doing is, well, I'm not willing to make the same sacrifice as the 10-year-old who saved up $400. I'm going to find a way to not have to make that sacrifice. So, see, I just don't see the difference, but whatever. I mean, I rationalize internally, so I guess I do see a little bit of a difference for myself. I'm just surprised that other people agree.
All right. I get distracted sometimes, so when I sound distant, I'm usually reading the IRC channel trying to get caught back up when
that's
Alon's
good.
Talking. Because I like to ignore Alon when he's talking.
That's how you
really
produce a radio show, by ignoring. Okay, so I'm going
to
move on and talk about this lady. I believe her name is Sherry. She had something to say about my blog post, and I guess I should start by actually reading the blog post. I didn't do this before.
I could see why she wrote the letter. I feel that she, you know, maybe not be a Target employee, but maybe a friend of Alicia's. Or Alicia. I forget what the manager's name was exactly.
I think it's Alicia, but people pronounce them
right.
In strange ways.
I'm more familiar with what you called her, Beelzebut. I found that very humorous.
Man, I really love that line.
That was very clever.
All right.
Go ahead.
So I wrote in my blog, let me try and find the good spot here. See, it's also good. Well, here's the part that I think Sherry had a problem with. I started off with this. I've seen the devil and lived to tell the tale. If Target is the worldly manifestation of hell, day manager Alicia of Tempe Target, located at 1818 East Baseline Road, is the devil. Lucifer, Beelzebub. I'm not one to poke fun at one's appearance, but given how angry I am at this woman, please allow me this one moment of indiscretion as I refer to her as Beelzebut. She wasn't unattractive, to tell you the truth, but this white woman was packing enough back that the name is fitting. I do have certain reservations about calling her a woman, though, because she did somehow manage to simultaneously anal rape several guests in one swift command to her minions. So I think that is the particularly offensive line in my blog. And to be perfectly honest, I'm not reading this just to get it out there, but I do think it's funny that now I've just repeated it for everyone to hear again. That wasn't my intention. I'm just trying to have my full disclosure. You know, that I always do here on the show. So here is what Sherry had to say about that blog post. If I can get my email to work properly, then I can actually read it to you.
Well,
here
in
it is.
This little lapse of time here as Alon works.
Hey, I've got it up,
there.
Dude. What are
you
waiting time for?
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. I will do this just because I'm taking the floor here. We have a birthday that just happened last Thursday. Michael, Brooklyn Bruiser. He just had a birthday, so...
His name's Mitchell, dude.
Mitchell? I cannot read, so...
I can't believe
that,
you
Mitchell.
Just wasted valuable time for that.
Yeah, we did.
All right, we will not be doing that again. People, don't send us your birthdays.
that's not going to happen again. I thought, well,
like every week.
Trouble, and I felt the need to jump in there, because there was a lot of silence there. But go
good
ahead.
Save, though. Good try. Okay, so here is what... Sherry had to say. She says, very impressive personal attack on Alicia at your local Target store. Did you type that blog with the same hands you used to hug your mother? How would you have felt if it had been someone making those comments about your sister, your mother, your wife? What do her looks have to do with her ability to do her job? Totally irrelevant? In fact, if you had a job out in the corporate world, you could be fired for such statements. Would you like it if, based upon your blog photo, I proceeded to make fun of your physical attributes in a very public forum? All right, so there's so many things to touch on there. First of all, I'm very aware that if you made those comments in the corporate world, you would get fired. I've been in corporate situations, and you know what? I don't say things like that. This happens to be my radio show and my blog, and I get to do what I want. That's one of the great things about it. Now, she also asks, would I like it if based on my blog photo? Blah, blah, blah. Now, for those of you on the forums at chatterboxgameshow.com, you may remember, you can see my face. I have a wonderful picture of myself as my avatar in the forums. And there are a lot of fans of that photo. There are also some who think it's a little goofy, and they've had a lot to say about it, and I think there's been whole threads about it, presumably because people have a lot of time on their hands, but either way,
well,
they have
really
said...
Well, you really do look like a cartoon figure in that photo.
And I take pride in that, but other people have made fun of it rather consistently, and certainly it doesn't bother me, because it's very true. And I responded to Sherry, and one of the important parts of my response was that, really, I let truth overcome emotion in any situation. You know, I don't seek out to hurt people's emotions, and I don't use the truth as a defense against it. And like I've said before, I felt sort of bad about hurting Alicia's feelings, but not so bad that it stops me from sleeping. Because you know what? She was a giant bitch for doing what she did. But, you know, if you don't like how I look, and a lot of people don't, I'm not always a very attractive guy, sure, go ahead, say it. I don't care. Really, I think I'm tangenting, though. This isn't very pertinent information. So I'm going to continue to read the rest of the email rather than just be vain and talk about myself here. From what I understand, her error was an honest mistake, and the manager at Target is doing everything possible to get you the new Xbox. Yeah.
I don't know how that was an honest mistake.
I don't think it was an honest mistake, because we all made it very clear. You know, and she had these vouchers that were specially printed. We talked about this.
Yeah. I don't see how she could just realize that, well... I mean, they went to the cost and, you know, trouble of making these really just for, you know, if you want to use them, you can.
Exactly. She should have known. And if she had a question about it, which clearly there was question because there were a bunch of people with different opinions right in front of her.
Perhaps a call to, you know, corporate might have been in order. But
I was able to call
no.
corporate, and I'm not even at a Target store. I was using my cell phone. She certainly could have done that and taken care of the situation before... doing the wrong thing. She could have taken care of it. And she chose not to. So that's irresponsible of her. So I don't think it was an honest mistake. It was a mistake, and her manager's not very happy with it, but doesn't make it an okay mistake. They are supposedly doing everything possible to get you to the new Xbox, although I don't particularly believe that, because they did hold one for me and still haven't asked me to come in and get it.
Yeah.
The core system. They could just be giving me a lot of accessories and a rain check for whatever accessories they don't have. So, you know, fuck them. She goes on to say, your lack of experience, I mean, Sherry says this, your lack of experience also shows in trying to record the Target store manager. Large companies such as Target have a strict policy against any of their employees giving interviews to the media. Duh.
Yeah, I think that's for, like, any big business. But the thing is, it's never wrong to try.
Yeah, as a proper investigative reporter, you have to put in all your efforts to try and get the story. I was going in there to give them the opportunity to defend themselves rather than talking behind their backs. I was doing it for their benefit. I think it would have been interesting radio to have the recording, so it was also benefiting me, but I was doing it for them to defend themselves. Putting themselves on record, I think, is a good thing to do in this situation, because all they're doing is getting harped on by me in a negative way. So it only gives them a chance to improve their reputation by going on record. And the fact that they have a policy, well, I was hoping that the guy would forget or let it happen or whatever. But I think you should give me a little credit for not trying to hide it and do something illegal.
Well, you should talk to Alicia. She's very good at not following policy.
That's true. That would have been classic. Of course, really, I just don't ever want to see her because I'm afraid of what she might do.
You know, just recently what I've said and stuff, like, I'm a little scared of her too now. I don't want her coming after me.
I doubt they're actually listening to the show. That's time they won't spend, but reading the blog is easy. So, Sherry has some more to say. She says, from what she was told, I couldn't resist... giving the Target people my business card and mentioning that I was a local radio show host. And, you know, as you said before, I wasn't flashing it like a badge of honor. I wasn't throwing it around.
No, you just very, you know, you just pretty much handed it to one of them, just saying, like, you know, here, you know, I do have a card.
And again, I was trying to be on the up and up, like, hey, you're probably going to get talked about on the radio, hint.
Yeah.
You can either not be a bitch right now, although it's past that, the point of no return, because people have walked out with their systems. But you might want to be careful, because, yeah, we are on the radio there. And so, yeah, I'm not flashing it around like I'm some fancy media, because, you know, like you said, there's a lack of experience there, and I'm happy. I'm happy with that. I'm not going to be some corporate pandering jackass who just does, you know, what PR groups want me to do. Screw that. We're going to be on the radio and say what we want to do. Like a lot of the other podcasts out there, I listened to the video game show recently, and one of the things they say on their website is that they're not going to let their opinions, whatever, get swayed by free product or something like that. And we're the same way.
Exactly.
Like Stubbs the Zombie. So Sherry goes on to ask that I call and apologize to Alicia. And again, I say, fuck that. I am not going to call her and apologize. She has not even made an attempt to call you, Nate.
No, or anyone on that list, as far as we know.
Yeah, you didn't write in your blog anything bad about her. She hasn't called you, another innocent line waiter. You waited in line and haven't gotten a call after almost 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
To even just say, hey, we're working on it. Hey, we're going to get you that system. Hey, I'm sorry that things went this way. You haven't heard from corporate. You haven't heard from her manager. You haven't heard from her or any of her minions. You haven't heard from anybody representing Target. And you've been waiting 12 days now after waiting 12 hours.
Yeah, I've gotten nothing. Like, two people took my name down, and even then I kind of figured, yeah, I might get something out of it, but I think that list is going to be thrown away and you're going to forget about me.
So. Yeah, so they have not taken care of their people. Since I call them incessantly, like every other day, I can understand why they don't call me, because they know they've been in contact with me. But you haven't called them, you haven't gone in there, you haven't done anything, you've stayed away from it, and they have not made any effort. So I think Target is sort of failing with their customer responsibility, excuse me, their guest responsibilities here.
Their policy is to not talk to guests that are angry.
Alicia taught us that. Yeah.
So maybe they are following policy and not contacting us. That's the only thing I could see.
Alicia policy, yeah. And she does write her own. So Sherry continues to say, I can't take back what I said, but an apology would be good. It would go a long way in making her feel better and probably making me feel better about the fact that I hurt her feelings. Once again, gets a big fuck that.
Yeah, again, I would also like to say, I don't, you know, from what happened, I don't want Alicia to feel better. And actually, I want her to feel a little bad for a while. That's all I want to say.
You know, in the right environment, if she came to me sincerely apologizing, I think I would reciprocate. You know, I would be the big man too, but you're not about to see me act first. She's representing not only herself, but Target Corporation, and they're not doing a very good job of it. And they are definitely going to have to initiate any sort of conversation. It's never going to happen. I'm not expecting it or asking for it.
I hope you don't have any illusions of that happening.
No. But yeah, I won't be apologizing anytime soon, because once again, just like the Xbox 360 reselling situation, it's not the end of the world. I didn't, kill her opportunity for presidency here, and she's not breaking my back by not selling me an Xbox. I'm gonna live another day. Anyway, so there you go, Sherry. I did thank her for being a fan of the show. I sent her a kind response, I think, very calm response. But some of the things you had to say, I just disagree with. So, whatever. Thank you for the email. I appreciate it. If anybody else wants to contact us at any time, you know where to find us. ChatterboxGameShow.com. You can email us. You can write in the forums. Whatever you want. All right, Nate. Did you have anything else to cover before we go to break?
No. I think we're good.
All right. So we are going to go to break, folks. We will be back to talk about those other things I said we were going to talk about. And then we will go on to report on the annual video game report card given by the National Institute on Media and the Family. I think that's their name.
I believe that's correct.
The good man, Dr. David Wolf. We will be back.
See you then.
Welcome back to Chatterbox Video Game Radio, everybody. My name's Alon, and we've got Nate right here as well.
Hey, folks.
Now, as I told you, we're going to have a special exclusive report from Ryan Mullen, the new correspondent for Chatterbox Video Game Radio. And he's here with us right now, by phone, of course. Ryan, are you there?
Hey, guys.
Excellent.
Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
So, what do you have for us today?
Well, I've got a report about a new game that's coming out. Supposedly it's supposed to teach modern Christian values, but it's rather extreme, I would say, in the fashion that it represents that. Do you want to hear just the press release that came out for it? Or?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Protests are being heard from anti-secular groups and gay people over a new game claiming to teach modern religious values. Lovin' Thy Neighbor, developed by Really Jesus Entertainment, is due to release in time for Christmas. we really wanted this out to celebrate the birth of Christ, so it's usually a good time to merchandise Christ-related material, says RJE studio technician David Kowalski. Loving Thy Neighbor, set to extend its glorious light upon all major consoles this Christmas, helps today's Christian families guide its youth through many of life's trials and to help the young Christian walk the path of Jesus virtually while hardening their resolve through the shockingly realistic trials of the modern-day faith. In this engrossing role-playing adventure title, the player will face and overcome everyday challenges such as providing for the needy, conflict resolution, and overcoming doubt.
Wow. So
it really doesn't sound, you know, that bad of a game. I don't understand why it would be such, you know, such a bad thing.
So where is there controversy?
Well, some of the portions of the game that are included, such as a mini game called Fairy Burning, has the player go around attacking stereotypically homosexual depictions of gay people.
Wait,
with
did you say that it's
wafers.
Did you say fairy burning?
Yes, that is correct. Fairy burning.
All right, I'm sorry to cut you out there. Go
no
ahead.
No G just... on the end. Burning.
All right, fairy burning.
Wow,
right.
that's a little out there.
All right, so tell me a bit more about that.
Well, you pretty much go around, and there's a bunch of gay people, you know, doing stuff that those gay people are supposed to be doing. And you toss explosive communion wafers at them, and they start on fire.
Wow,
that's a little
horrible
harsh.
Deaths.
That's classic. You throw explosive communion wafers.
That is correct, yes. It's kind of like Constantine.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there other material? I guess this is really all you would need to get controversy, but is
really?
There other material
yes.
in the game that people have problem with?
Well, besides that, like, for instance, in that same game, for every queer you smear, as they call it in the game, they offer you advice to not be gay, such as, if you saw the recent movie adaptation of the Broadway classic Rent, you're probably gay.
Whoa.
It's kind of blunt.
All right. Actually kind of funny, but... But yeah, I could see myself not wanting to give that game
yeah.
to my child.
Why are you guys laughing? You gay people.
I just all right. Moving on.
Now obviously there has to be some, you know, proponents of the game along with some people that dislike it, perhaps, so you have some of that.
Is there any more to the story, Ryan?
Well, there is one pro gay nonprofit group called Come From Behind, which helps thousands of needy gay unemployed people seek unemployment, which, as you know, has been a huge epidemic.
Of course, I'm sure you mean they were seeking employment.
Absolutely, right? So, God bless them. And they say this game sends a negative stereotype of homosexuals as flamboyant, sex-driven heathens. In one instance, the player is told that watching the Bravo channel gives you the quote-unquote queers. This is beyond bad taste, is downright hateful. One proponent of the game that I'll leave nameless from fear of litigation has gone so far as to call this group Fagalante. Well, see in the Supreme Court.
Wow. Yeah. That is an interesting story you've got for us, Ryan. We're going to have you on in the future, and feel free to update us on the
yes.
situation. I certainly have not heard of this
well,
game development company.
Well, that's why we have Ryan,
because
he really digs down deep and finds the scoops.
We've got investigative journalists now working for Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Thank you so much for the report, Ryan.
Yeah,
and,
no problem, guys. Take it easy.
Keep us abreast of all the news from RJ. So we're back, Chatterboxers. We did actually take a short break and prepared the annual video game report for you all. And now we're going to get right to it. Is there anything you want to say before we start, Nate?
We can't touch the table.
Yeah. Apparently touching the table that the mic is on, that's bad news. So here we go. We're going to start. I got to thank C-SPAN, by the way, for providing access to this program. We talked about them earlier in the show.
A little bit. Yeah.
All right. So here it is. Yeah, we're just going to get right to it.
Live now to the Dirksen Senate Office Building for an annual report
Lovely
on
office
video
building,
games
by the way,
released
the
by the National Institute
That's
on Media
located
and the
in,
Family
in,
and Senator Joseph Lieberman.
In where?
Also
syndicated
Minnesota?
Minnesota,
Kent
I believe, yeah.
Part. A warning to our viewers, this new news briefing may be showing examples of violent and sexually explicit material. Live coverage now on C-SPAN 2.
I really particularly want to extend my appreciation to Senator Joe Lieberman, who throughout these past 10 years has been partnering with us on bringing the issues of the impact of video games on children's health and development to national consciousness, to the public awareness. And it's really appreciate, Senator, your involvement over these years.
Thanks,
and Stephen Kent, who is a nationally syndicated game reviewer, has joined us for each of the
Bad
10 years
joke
as
help.
Well. And since I started with the
That's
comment
correct.
That this is the 10th annual report card, I thought it might be helpful to begin my remarks by commenting on the fact that the 10th annual perhaps gives us a chance to step back and do some perspective before we get into this year's report card. I believe that whoever tells the stories defines the culture. I don't think that's new. That's been true for thousands of years. What is new is that in the past 10 years, a powerful new storyteller has taken a more prominent role in our kids' lives. And that prominent storyteller is video and computer games. There have been tremendous changes over the past 10 years since we've been doing this report card. Last Tuesday, a week ago today, Microsoft released the Xbox 360. And for those of you who have seen this new generation of technology,
those of us who actually got to buy
them. That would be nice.
Yeah. For the record, we will be piping in, but the intro just goes on for a while. They haven't said anything useful yet.
Yeah. Like, this is the first time we've done it, so there will be a lot of dead air sometimes.
And, yeah, also, it could just go on for a long time with us not saying anything, because there might just not be anything interesting to say.
Yeah.
Like we said, could be boring for some of you, but I think there's going to be some good stuff.
You can get the information that they're talking about.
So
if we're talking or not.
Yeah, let's get back to it.
You know that the technology is inching ever closer to that ultimate goal of virtual reality. That's the stated goal of the industry itself.
What industry?
Which means that the new generation of games will be more engaging, more realistic, and more fun. And because of that, then the games, as they have come over the last 10 years and as they will go forward the next 10 years, are capable of greater benefit, but they're also capable of greater harm. There's been a lot of talk in the past year about the positive aspects of video games. And as you know from past report cards, we believe in that positive, in the positive effects of video games. Our position has always been that video games are powerful. And because they're powerful, they are capable of teaching positive things. They're also capable of teaching negative things. And because of that power, the report card has been a tool to try to alert the public of the power of these games and try to shine the spotlight on things that are
important.
Does
the game
important.
Industry have to take summer school if they get bad grades?
Do they not graduate? Yeah, I don't know.
It seems like they've been in school for 10 years. That's a little long.
It is. And, you know, we'll actually get to hear the exact grade that they got later.
Yeah.
They didn't do very well.
Not too great.
The gaming industry. I don't know who spearheads the industry. It's like the IEMA is like the representative. When he refers to like the industry has its specific goal. Its stated goal is to become more realistic. Like,
yeah.
Who is...
I want to know who said that it was going to be VR. I've seen games come out and they've been very bad.
Yeah. You're talking about, like, in the 80s?
Well, even the one we played at PAX, the Virosphere.
Yeah.
Or Virtuosphere, I should say.
Is that what it was called?
I don't know. I have his business card.
Okay. Well, we'll get back to the report again.
for reform, because our goal at the National Institute on Media and the Family, as well as the goal of this report card, is to maximize the benefits of media, including video games, and to minimize the harm. The harm has to do with public health issues. We don't come at this issue from a matter of taste or opinion, but from a matter of public health.
Really?
And I think the concern, the concern of some negative impact of video games has to do with three important public health issues. One is the impact of violent video games and how that contributes to what we call a culture of disrespect. Because if we remember, whoever tells the stories defines the culture. The impact of kids playing hours and hours of ultra-violent games is not necessarily that they're going to go out and pick up a weapon and imitate exactly what they've seen. The real impact is that starts to redefine how it is that they see the world and how it is that we treat one another.
Now, this is a really important point. All right, so he says this, or maybe Lieberman repeats it, but it's repeated during the report card. And it's important to note, like, some people, after hearing Jack Thompson talk or whatever, they think that the opponents to video games are just saying that we're going to go out and shoot people when we play games. And what David Walsh here is saying that, you know, you might not just walk into your school with guns blazing, but these games and various media that we're introduced to are just changing society by making us more
desensitized to violence, maybe.
Or yeah, they say we're immune now to the idea of killing. And, you know, this is something that I can get behind. He's right. Honestly, when we play games all the time and we're constantly beating each other up, or we play the game Bully that Jack doesn't like very much, you know, maybe we're going to be more used to the idea of hurting people and perhaps not having a lot of negative consequence when doing those things. It is important.
You just got to make sure you get to a paint shop so the stars will go away.
To heal yourself. It's important to note, though, that there are people up there who are, you know, talking about the problems with games who realize that we're not going to just go in and shoot people, right? They do realize.
They actually have a head on their shoulders, and they're not crazy.
He sees reality. But the point he's making is still, it's still pretty valid. And, you know, as much as we might like to think that our games have absolutely no effect, we should, you know, face reality that it probably does. And
it's not everybody, but there are a select few that, I mean, they already have problems with them. But, you know, those games probably aren't helping them.
What are you talking about?
Well, people that, I mean, let's say the kid that is already, he's not all right there in the head. He's already a little depressed and a little angry. And, you know, I'm not seeing the games tipping him, you know, over the edge where he's going to shoot people. But it's not helping him get any better. Yeah.
Like the Chinese window jumper.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe playing World of Warcraft, or not, Warcraft 3, sorry. Yeah. Like, you know, for 12 hours straight. Probably wasn't helping him get back on the right track, you know.
But the kid had problems to begin with. And, yeah, my point is just that I'm happy to see people up there facing reality, and it's important that I mention to you folks out there that they realize this. The people who are sort of, you know, might piss you off by saying negative things about video games, they're not totally out in left field.
Yeah, they actually know somewhat what they're talking about.
Exactly. But as Nate and I know, and so do you guys, the people who really have the problems are the ones who already had problems.
Yeah.
And could be, their lives would be much more improved by having parents that aren't crappy than by just not playing a violent video game.
Yes.
Yeah. That's going to be what makes the real difference. So let's continue.
The second public health issue has to do with the increasing concern about the obesity epidemic. There isn't practically a month that goes by that we don't have another report talking about the risk for our kids in terms of their health and fitness. The biggest change in the lifestyle of American kids over the last 15 years.
This would be another part where parents could come in and say, you know what, little Billy, it's been 8 hours now on Saturday. Maybe we could go outside for a little bit, you know, and do something out there.
Yeah. Obesity in terms of video games, I mean, maybe we should be concerned. But
you could be say that for music or movies, anything that makes you very sedentary.
Yeah. It's just not the focus of my concern at the moment. And really, we've been dealing with more violence in games.
Now, Alon, you and I, we play games, and we don't do a whole lot. We are very skinny people.
Yeah, and that's actually common. I think you get either the really skinny folks.
Yep.
And what that means is we're probably more addicted because we're so lazy we're not willing to go to the fridge and eat.
That's right. Food has become an obstacle that we're willing to just pass by.
Yeah, and the truth is, video games, they're not going to make you fat, they're just going to make you
weak,
yeah,
I guess.
Weak, because you're not doing anything, because you're non-active.
You'll be really strong in the thumbs.
Exactly, whereas sitting around and eating is something you can do while watching television. So I'm not trying to say video games are good for your health, but it's not what's making them obese.
Yes.
And it's certainly just not the it's not the part I want to focus on when dealing with the negative aspects of games.
I've seen a few people that are able to eat while playing video games. I don't like to hang out with those people. I especially don't like them playing my games or being near anything that I own while they're doing that activity. I don't like chocolatey, Cheeto-y stuff in various places. Like, that's gross.
I've seen it happen. You know, I have that one-handed controller by ASCII for the PlayStation. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, really, you've got freedom to do whatever you want.
I suppose you can. Hand.
And then there's the talented people with their feet.
True.
Okay, so David Walsh's concern,
obesity.
We're not going to touch on that because, honestly,
I don't think there's a problem with it. That can be many factors besides video games.
The solutions lie elsewhere. Not playing video games is not going to make you...
Making better ratings isn't going to make you skinny all of a sudden.
Exactly.
But let's continue.
Yes.
Has been increased screen time. In 1990, the average number of hours that the average American child spent in front of a screen in 1 week was 28 hours. Today, it's closer to 44. The biggest change in that...
Well, they got to level up that
Druid
Archer.
...of video games, computer, and the Internet. And so the biggest change in American kids' lives has been an increasingly sedentary lifestyle, putting them at risk for overweight and obesity. And there's another issue that we've mentioned a couple of times, another public health issue that I think we need to pay more attention to as we go forward, and that is the issue of video game addiction. Our research shows that about 1 out of 7 kids who plays video games, particularly teenage boys, develop patterns that are so addictive that if you almost erase the word cocaine and put in the word video game, it...
Do you get the cold shakes after not playing games for a while? Do you get the dry heaves? Do you vomit a lot? Are you not able to eat for a few days?
Call 1-888. Lawyers are us. Yeah, that hasn't happened to me, but then again, I don't consider myself a video game addict.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I haven't played games that much or for that long of a time, but really, if I'm getting withdrawal symptoms, that's... I want to see some videos of people going through video game withdrawals before I believe his cocaine/video games is the same thing.
You're sounding awfully aggressive, Nate.
Am I?
You don't agree with Dave?
Well, you made me talk loud, so now I'm getting all aggressive.
Okay. I think David's a good guy. He seems sincere, and that's one of the things I do appreciate with the three people involved in this. There's David Walsh, Joe Lieberman, and then Stephen Kent. They all seem fairly sincere in what they're trying to do.
No, like you said, you know, they talked, and you know, they do have very valid points. I just think in some of his points he's getting a little out there in my case. Cocaine and relating cocaine to video games, I just don't see that as...
Well, I'm trying to think, like, I didn't care too much about it. I let this just, whatever, he said it, I glossed over it, I don't care. You seem more affected by this comment.
Because it just seems so unwarranted, and, you know, I don't see being backed up.
When thinking about it, I can't really imagine any script describing cocaine addiction actually being similar to game addiction. Yeah. I mean, there's the whole part where, like, I guess you dissociate from your family and your friends, right, by having your addiction.
Yeah.
And then it probably makes you forget about other responsibilities in life, school and work.
Yeah.
So those are pretty close, right? The physical addiction, I don't think is what he's getting.
Yeah. Okay, maybe. Right. When he's totally relating, when you say you erase cocaine and you put it in video games, sorry, I hit the table.
Yeah.
You can barely tell the difference. I'm saying that's not true. And until I see it, that's not true.
I think there is a point there, and like I explained, there.
I'm sure there's a point. I just wish he would not use. If he would just say it's addicting.
Yeah.
Like, it's similar to some drugs in some respects. Yeah. Not saying if you erase the word cocaine and put video games.
Well, here's the thing. We're going to talk about David skewing his statistics and his facts. Like I said, I sort of like the guy, but he hasn't done a great job reflecting.
He's pushing his agenda.
That's clear. Because honestly, any addiction, gaming, drugs, sex, ant raising, any addiction
card
you have,
collecting.
Yeah, they all have exactly the same attributes. The way that I'm defending his comment to Nate here is relative to any addiction.
Yeah,
where you get away from everything else.
So really, I should have a press conference and really, you know, so those model shipbuilders. If you erase the word cocaine and put model shipbuilders, you could barely tell the difference.
Yeah. So his comment about the cocaine addiction, whatever. Not so valid because it's any addiction.
Very true.
And so there I see Nate's point. And by mentioning that in the annual game report, it's just going to help get a rise out of people by saying, oh, well, games are like drugs now.
Yeah.
And
that's just the point I want to get across, that they're not like drugs. They're like any addiction, but they're not like drugs.
Yeah. And the good part here is that they don't actually have a chemical effect on your body.
Yeah.
Your brain might change its chemical, whatever.
A little bit, but that can be said if you do a lot of math problems.
Yeah. You're not going to have any true physical addiction to gaming ever.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's enough on the topic.
Okay.
Let's keep going.
It would all fit. And so I think we need to increasingly pay attention to that. So with that perspective, we now come to the 10th annual report card. Here is a quick snapshot or an overview of what we found in this, our 10th report card. First of all, the M-rated games, which have been of concern throughout these 10 years, are significantly different, more extreme than ever before. We also have a growing body of research that shows that kids are affected by these games. That research, which for years has been mostly psychological and social research, is increasingly brain-based research and confirming some of the suspicions that we've had about the impact of these games. We also found in this year's report card that the M-rated games that we're talking about are still easily accessible to kids and unfortunately still rank among the favorites of teenage boys. We believe that one of the major findings this year is that something has to be done about the rating system. We believe that the ESRB rating system is broken and beyond repair. The reason for that, there are a number of reasons for that. One is that there is a rating called Adults Only. That AO rating,
They broke their microphone setup. Since you can't watch this on TV, I have to describe it for you. Steve.
We're going to have to describe the joke later, too.
Figure out who the technician is in the crowd.
Thank you, Steve. That AO rating has been used only 18 times in the history of the ESRB.
Are you aware of any adults-only games except for the original Grand Theft Auto San Andreas?
Wasn't there the singles game? Wasn't that adults-only?
Perhaps.
Because I think you had sex in it.
I don't remember.
I never played the game.
But I certainly can't recall 18 or 5. I thought adults only rating, I thought it was going to be the first one ever. We've talked about it on the show. First one. And that was one of the big points about it, the fact that they went at AO because no game's ever...
Never gone AO before.
Yeah, because they knew it wouldn't be in the stores. So, singles was sold only over the web.
Yeah.
Maybe that was
maybe
AO.
That's the only one that I knew of.
But I certainly don't know of 18.
Yeah.
But whatever. We'll have more about AO games later.
Yeah.
10,000 games rated, only 18 games have ever been rated as only appropriate for adults. We think that that is the result of the fact that there is inherent conflict of interest in the ESRB rating system. The ESRB is an arm of the industry, and so the commercial impact of ratings brings into play an inherent conflict of interest. A prime example of that was one of the major unfortunate video game stories of the past year, the hot coffee scandal that occurred during the summer.
All right. So he's going to spout some stuff about the hot coffee mod.
We're going to be interjecting very quickly.
Yeah. You need to pay attention here about the fact that he's saying some things and leaving a lot of other stuff out.
Unless you're a person that likes this show and listens to it or is up on the industry, if you're just let's say my folks who watch this, they'd be like, they have that in the game?
I hope you're not playing that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's leaving out a lot of very important details, and we will we'll make you aware of those, just in case you miss them.
Yeah.
The hot coffee scandal, for a quick review, was that what had happened is that very explicit pornographic scenes.
They were wearing clothes. It was only the mod that some people made that then took their clothes off.
Yeah, which does not apply to the Xbox or PS2 versions.
No.
Actually, maybe Xbox. I don't know how far they went with the Xbox mod.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But
probably a lot further with the PC mod.
But as the Rockstar version, they only had clothes on. So really, they were obscene, I don't know, poses, I guess.
Calling it pornographic is a bit of a stretch, but everybody there on the panel, including Stephen Kent, the video game reporter,
yeah.
They all seem to think that it's pornographic. I'll bring question to that but I won't complain about it. Because different people have different definitions of pornography.
Maybe when they see dogs humping, they're like, oh, that's pornographic. You should get that off the street.
You wouldn't believe it. Some people do. All right, here goes.
Had been placed into the game Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, one of the most popular games on the market in the last year.
He said it was placed into the game. That's his first instance of misleading people into thinking that this stuff was actually
playable right away, out of the box.
Freely playable. One of the most important things to note is that he never once says that you had to do something special to access the hot coffee.
He does a very good job of just very grazing over that fact.
He doesn't even touch on it. He implies from the beginning to the end of his speech that it's freely accessible. Luckily, Stephen Kent changes that later.
Half hour later.
But here David Walsh continued to screw this up.
The ESRB was informed about the presence of that pornography 4 weeks before that game was re-rated AO. An effective independent rating organization could have called up Take-Two Entertainment the day that they heard that report and said, we need to know right away, is that content on the disc, is that game misrated? And, you know, they could have said, we need to know that right away. If it's on the disc, we need to re-rate the game. If it's not, if you aren't honest with us, if you aren't straight with us, then there should have been some kind of a penalty for that.
Okay, so their rules never said that you have to tell us about stuff that isn't accessible naturally within the game. So David Walsh is saying, yeah, they could have called up and said, well, if it's on the disc, we need to re-rate the game. But since it wasn't in their rules, they didn't even know if they wanted to re-rate the game.
Yeah.
That was a debate.
If it wasn't playable, I still think that, you know, the ESRB should have known, because I think they should know everything that's on any disc, like they say. But I don't think it should have been rated anything more than, you know, mature than what it was.
Yeah, well, I mean, even with that content freely accessible, I would still want to rate it mature. But that's an issue of opinion. But the thing is, their rules never said you have to tell them about stuff that is not accessible. And so let's say they find out Take-Two is open with them, which they weren't to begin with. They said, yes, it's on the disc. Then the debate to the whole question to re-rate the game, it's an internal debate at the ESRB. It's not something that would have just been done if they knew. They had to decide how they were going to handle it. And the only reason they did change it is because of all the attention they got. They wouldn't have changed it if they didn't get all that attention.
Exactly.
And David seems to think that, oh, they should have changed it right away. Well, you know what? You've continually implied that it's in the game, but it wasn't. And that's why it took them 4 weeks. And you also can't impose any penalty on them when...
Because they really didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, the rule wasn't made at that point. And again, Stephen Kent, as much as I think he made some mistakes in this report... clears that up for people later. After all the news people have their way with the news bites from David Walsh, then it gets fixed.
Maybe the ESRB should have refused to rate their games for the next 2 years, or et cetera.
I don't know where the 2 years comes from. That's all I wanted to say.
Nate does sort of question 2 years. Is
like
that arbitrary?
Yeah, it seemed like they just plucked that out of there. You gave a good point because they would miss two Christmases. And that might hurt them.
By making it 1 year, you could miss a Christmas, but like you could get just before the Christmas or just after the Christmas on where the year ended or started. So you might not affect their Christmas season too much. But making it 2 years means that you definitely, no matter what, miss the big 3 month period coming up to Christmas.
Which makes sense to me, but it just seemed like, why would they say 2 years? Yeah.
You could also accomplish that with 18 months.
Yeah.
But whatever. That does seem fairly arbitrary. They never defend that point.
They don't explain it either. All three of them talk about 2 years, but they don't say how they came to that two-year conclusion or why.
Yeah, and of course the ESRB has not put this into action, so it doesn't matter anyway.
Is week after week of denial until it became incontrovertibly demonstrated that the code for the hot coffee pornography was indeed on the disc. No penalty for Take-Two Entertainment. It was simply re-rated. The penalty...
No penalty because it wasn't against the rules.
Came from the retailers who had been misled, who were outraged the fact that they were selling pornography unknowingly. They immediately pulled the game off the shelves.
So, if I were to sell a magazine and you had to have special glasses that cost $2,000 to see an image of a naked woman maybe a sex act, right? Two people. There's a sex act in this, but you got to spend $2,000 and read 50 pages of instructions on how to access this image in the magazine. Do you think all the retailers would be up in arms and removing it from the shelves because there's going to be three people in the audience who are highly educated and with a lot of funding to be able to make this?
That's not a fair assumption, though, because they... The hot coffee mod, yeah, like a few people did it, but then it became very easily accessible to everyone.
Only the PC version.
Yeah, only the PC version.
Hell, I had a friend who pretty much knows what he's doing. He tried to do it on the Xbox, and he screwed it up. He couldn't get it to work.
Really?
Yeah, and the PS2 one, don't even get me on the PS2 one. That, what a pain in the ass to see it on the PS2. And that's where it sold most. So, and like, that's where lawsuits are coming from, too. Grandma's, you know, suing because their son got it on the PS, or grandson got it on the PS2. And he never saw it. You know, Grandma never had access to this. I guarantee it. The PC version...
The PC version was very easy. It was like easy as going to Google and getting an EXE. And there you had it.
Yeah, that one's pretty simple. But you know what? You could have taken it out of the PC version.
Yeah.
Right? That's also the easiest one to remod.
Mm-hmm.
But they affected every release of this. And they were concerned about the kids who were buying the PS2 version or getting their hands on it. So I'm still concerned about the fact that it was so friggin' hard to access this mod, and he's going off like it was the opening scene of the game or something.
You had to press start and just select it.
Yeah. Watch the porno!
We see a game in this year's list. You might be surprised to find a T-rated game on the list that parents need to be aware of. The game is Urban Reign. When we looked at the footage for the game Urban Reign, which is rated T, it's hard to believe when you look at the criteria for the ESRB ratings why that game did not get an M rating.
Teen and M are very similar. Isn't it just like fantasy violence compared to mature violence?
I think you're confusing when we were comparing mature to adults only.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Yeah, because it's like in mature there's blood, gore, and violence, and in adults only there's like excessive blood, gore, and violence.
Right.
And then there's, like, sexual themes, and then there's very sexual, something
very arbitrary.
Yeah.
Okay,
between M and
AO. I
need
to look up my ESRB ratings.
Yeah, no, the difference between teen and mature has a lot to do with the explicit use of blood, and also, I think, attacks on public figures, like, you know, cops and stuff, or authority figures. That would make it an M-rated game, stuff like that. But yeah, you were just confusing stuff.
There's a lot of secrecy around the ESRB. We believe that there needs to be a transparent, independent, universal rating system. One of the things that we are doing is that we are calling for a ratings summit. And we have already spoken to the leading child health and welfare organizations in the country who are readily agreeing to join us in the summit in the first half of 2006 to review the ratings and to issue recommendations for a more effective and helpful rating system for parents. I think it's important to know that the games have changed dramatically. As part of this year's report card, we partnered with a group called PSV Ratings. Dominic Perry from PSV is with us this morning. PSV has an independent rating system where they don't just take a look at kind of people's opinions, but they actually count, and they actually identify specific content in the games. What we did is we took a sample of games that we put on the list for parents to be aware of in the late 1990s, and we compared that to games on the list in today's report card. These are some of the things that we found. In the late 1990s, only one out of six games contained any profanity at all. Today, all of the games that are on today's list contain profanity. The incidence of profanity has gone up, and this is not an incorrect statistic, has gone up 3,000%.
All right. Here's my first extreme example of David Walsh, perhaps not giving false facts, but certainly...
Misguiding.
Using them for his own agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Late 1990s, what systems were on the market? Not a PS2, not a GameCube, not an Xbox. No. You had only CD-based systems. Now, with a CD, you can have a lot of sound, you can have a lot of movies, but you don't have tons of room for all the different audio and sound clips that you have these days. And you also had a different environment. Now, they did talk about the games getting more mature these days than they were before, and I agree. There used to be this barrier where you couldn't say shit or fuck on
cable TV.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't have them in a game. Yeah. That'd be bad news. At some point, someone broke the barrier. I don't remember what game it was, and I'm sure it was several games, but at some point, and I've only really noticed it in the last year, all these games have extreme profanity. There's bunch of games at a Rockstar that do it.
Like, the one game that I would say has excessive, cursing would be Fear. But this is because, like, every guy you shoot is, he's a sailor, apparently.
Yeah, there's a lot of swears in Fear, and a lot of the games these days, like True Crime.
Yeah,
has
that has a lot of
the Grand Theft Autos have a lot of swearing. Now, so there was this barrier that broke at some point. But in addition, I also think it's an issue to do with the hardware, where you've got higher production now and more space to include, 1,000 audio samples. And I guess compression also has something to
that
do
helps.
With that. But you can have tons of audio now, and they put that into the production. So you're going to have a lot more profanity just because you have access to more voice samples. But the real issue is that there was a barrier. It was broken. So there used to be none because the barrier existed. And then the barrier got broken down sometime in the last 5 years.
Yep.
And now there is profanity. So it's a question of it not being there and then suddenly being there.
It's going to plateau now, but they're not going to show that. They're going to show it when it bursts again.
So he says there's a 3,000% increase. There's 30 times as much as there used to be. All right. But when you take a measurement in another 5 years, you're going to have a 0% increase because it's exactly the same. And he's trying to create this precedence that doesn't exist. Say, well, if we keep going at this rate, we're all going to be spouting swears and not know English because all we're going to know is shit and
swear.
Fuck and ass and titties.
And we're going to invent new swear words because, we'll use all the old ones.
Yeah. So this is my first great example of him misusing statistics for his own agenda, just like he did where he didn't mention at all that the hot coffee stuff was completely inaccessible by, 90% of the people who played the game.
So not only do the games have more, but each game that has profanity, including language that you're going to hear on the tape that we'll play a little bit later, has changed dramatically in recent years.
We're not going to play that stuff, by the way.
Because it's not really... It doesn't lend to good radio.
Yeah. It's better visually. It's basically just someone playing true crime really badly.
Yeah.
And then you listen to a bunch of swears, and you hear them bitch about how there's swears in the games. So you'll miss out on that stuff. Sorry.
And you'll miss out on
only
a good shot of the zombie.
Yeah.
Games had any sexual content. They all contained violence back in the late 90s, but only a third contained any sexual content. Now the games that we sampled off the list with the PSV rating system, sexual content has increased by 800%. Although all the games were violent in the late 1990s, when you actually identify the specific acts of violence and the number, up 46%. Yet the ratings haven't changed. And so a parent who is thinking about an M-rated game from 5 years ago, it's a very, very different game today. For all of those reasons...
Is that really a concern? Let's say you're killing a bunch of people, you're slaughtering them. It's M, you don't buy it for your kid. Now let's say you slaughter people in a more gruesome way. All right, so are you now someone you would have bought it for?
It's over the edge, yeah.
Yeah.
It's over the top,
I mean, the blood spouting out of his head very realistically on the ground, is that going to make it not purchasable for your 15-year-old when before it would have been? I'm pretty sure that if you're willing to let the kid have M games, he's going to have whatever M game he wants. And, like you and I were talking earlier, you were excited you saw a parent actually paying attention to ratings.
Oh, yeah. I was at the mall this weekend, and we were in a GameStop. And, yeah, it was like a mom and dad couple. They were just coming, like, listen, I don't want violent games for my kid. And then, the attendant, showed him a bunch of various games. It was, driving games, so I wasn't sure. He's like, I don't want anything violent, and, driving games. But besides the point, it was a parent who cared.
Yeah.
And, he wanted to help.
I have come across that several times, because I worked in those stores. So... I would help people find games that weren't violent, whatever. And it, by no means is it a majority of the people who came in, but there were definitely the people who did care and pay attention to the ratings. And it's not like it's hard to understand the ratings. They knew there's a rating system. I know how to use it, and I know how to find the information you know, on the box and what information is pertinent to me. And so there are people who use it, and there's all this complaint about how the ESRB is bad. And you know what? I still think they do a good job.
Yeah. It's like if the ESRB, apparently I can't say that name right now, but like if you can't understand that code, it's like not being able to understand, you know, what movies are rated. I mean, I don't, it seems pretty easy to me, but maybe I'm a special case.
Oh, yeah. They go on later to say, Stephen Kent talks about how they should go and take the same system that the movie rating people have, and that the Motion Picture Association of America just won't let them have that rating system.
Yeah.
Right? And that they should let them have it. But that's not going to change it. You're still going to have labels.
Yeah.
They're going to be the people who use it, and they can use the ESRB ratings because they're not hard. There's going to be the people who
they
don't.
They only have a poster. I mean, someone's not handing out a brochure as soon as people walk into a game store that tells them about the ESRB. They don't have a video that's playing constantly 24/7 that explains the ESRB rating system.
Yeah, I agree to a point. It would be easier if we said that game's rated R. The parent would know, oh, well, they don't watch our movies, so they're not going to play an R game. It would be easier. But really, like Nate saw a parent who cared, that parent is going to know how to use the system. Because it's not rocket science.
Reasons the ratings, I think, need to be reviewed. One of the things where we've been making progress and which is a disappointment this year is the behavior of retailers. You may recall, if you've been following the report card, that 2 years ago, the Association of Independent, the IEMA, announced the same day of the report card 2 years ago that all of their members would have in place and would enforce a policy where they would not sell M-rated games to minors. Last year, we were disappointed when one out of three kids was able to go in and buy an M-rated game from those same retailers. Well, you can imagine our surprise this year when we found out that instead of things getting better, they actually got worse. This year, almost half of the kids that we sent in, and these kids were as young as 8 and 9 years old, went into retailers and were able to buy an M-rated game.
Okay, so here's another example. I can't prove, but I think
it's very questionable.
Yeah. I think he could be skewing the statistics here. Because
he doesn't say the instances. He says just the child.
Yeah. Pay attention to his word usage here. When you catch people using the same word over and over, it's usually very much on purpose. He has said that about half of the kids were able to get M-rated games. Now, the problem here is that you could have one kid go to 10 stores, and 9 of those stores turn him down. One of them lets him buy the game. In that respect, 100% of the children in this particular study were able to get M-rated games. So he could be skewing the facts. It could be one half of the kids, but if these kids were going to 10 different stores, then of course you're going to get a high instance or a high percentage of children who are getting these games. And he never faults from this. He always says it's the kids who are getting the games. Not half the time they went to buy the games, they got them. It's not half of the shopping experiences, half of the efforts to get these M-rated games. It's just half of the kids. So pay attention to that, and maybe you'll see what I mean. It could be skewed. It could just be that he uses the word kids. But Lieberman does the same thing later on. So I really think that they did it on purpose, and I have a feeling that they reused these kids in the experiments because it's probably hard to find them, the people who are willing to work with them and do this. All right.
Let me tell you one experience one of our undercover shoppers had. He walked into a major retailer, pulled an M-rated game off the shelf, went to the checkout counter. The cash register is programmed so that game is not supposed to be sold to an underage buyer. And so the clerk scanned the game, and what popped up on the register prompt was check ID. And so she said, I need your birthday. Our secret shopper gave the clerk his correct birthday. When she programmed that in, of course, the game couldn't be sold to him. And so she said, I can't sell you this game. Give me another birthday. The kid then gave another birthday, they both smiled, and he walked out with the game.
All right, very funny story.
Yes. Now, I would dare say, if I looked at the kid, it's like, he's not going to be a killer, I would do it. If he's like 16, if he's like less than, let's say, 8 months away from that birthday, I'd be like, yeah, give me another birthday. But if he's like 8, then I'd be no, no.
Well, this is another example of skewing. But I mean, really, it's just a funny story. Obviously, from the retailer's point of view, it shouldn't have been done. You stick with your policy. You especially don't ask for something twice.
Yeah.
If they're gonna screw around with it, they just screw around with it. But I just, you know, I'm willing to bet that that was probably in EB Games. Now, I don't want EB to start getting upset at me. I just said probably. I have no reason to back this up. No idea. But I do know that their registers ask that the person's 18. And it just sounds like the sort of thing that a kid at an EB would do. But I don't know. I mean, it could have been any store. But it's just funny to me because I've seen stuff like that happen all the time. But you're right. Like, if the kid is 16 and he's getting a game that is, you know, maybe not Grand Theft Auto. Maybe it's a game that's rated M, but you don't have a problem with anyone playing on a personal level. Really, I mean, the guy makes a judgment call, which is against policy and technically not right. But, you know, I don't think anyone's going to fault you for letting a 16-year-old have a game that has blood in it when 17 would push him over the edge. And David never tells...
what age that person was.
Exactly. Never explains to us, is it only 10-year-olds who are doing this? And
maybe he was a month away from his 17th birthday.
Yeah, a real scientific study would be all the same kid going to every single store, saying the same things, buying the same game. But you don't know. Like, I've made judgment calls when there wasn't a real policy on whether or not to sell games to kids that were rated M. If they brought up Grand Theft Auto, I would explain to the parent, if the parent was there, like, hey, this has prostitutes and drug use. How do you feel about that? You think that's cool? All right. Let's buy it. Otherwise, you know, maybe you should pick out Barbie's horse riding races. And
Raven 2.
Yeah. It's so Raven. But there were other games that were rated M. I mean, let's Halo, for instance. Yeah. Like, you're buying Halo, you know it's a game where you run around with a gun and shoot people. Other than that, like, there's nothing too crazy.
Yeah. You know, Master Chief isn't doing anybody.
Yeah. So you make some judgment calls sometimes. You decide how mature the game is. Now, once there's a real policy in place, you can't deviate from that. But back in the day, there wasn't. And so
a lot of ambiguity back
then. Yeah, I made the judgment call, and I was fine with that. So we'll keep going with this, guys. Here's more of the annual video game report.
That kind of enforcement is not what the retailers promised to do. Now, there is an exception to that, and one of the things that we've always done in the past is that we've communicated privately with the retailer, but this year we do want to cite in a positive way one of the retailers which has been an exception to this pattern, and that was Best Buy.
Okay. Best Buy is being sued. I'll let you do it, though.
Yeah, the irony here is that I just saw, like, the day after watching this annual video game report, I saw a report somewhere, I don't know if it was on GamePolitics.com or somewhere else, about how Jack Thompson is suing Best Buy for allowing his 13-year-old son to buy an M-rated game. And I just think it's great that Jack Thompson chose the one company who's publicly patted on the back by the National Institute on Media and the Family for doing the right thing. He chose them to do the secret shopper with his son and sue, because they're going to have a pretty good defense that, all right, maybe they screwed up once, but... you know, I also don't think that, by the way, that's...
I don't think that's against the law.
Yeah, not against the law at all. So, I don't know if it holds up. Maybe he, like, took him to Illinois, or one of those places that has the law.
That has the law, but that's been turned down. Most of them have the, you know, injunction against
them. Michigan, I think.
Michigan has the injunction. I think California's getting turned down, too.
They're getting yelled at, but I think there's some that actually have it in action right now.
Really? Okay, yeah. Maybe Illinois does. I'm not sure on that one. But I figured,
Illinois being...
I was pretty sure that California... I know Michigan, but I was pretty sure California got turned down, too.
I don't know. He could have done it before it was turned down. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't...
Besides the case, very ironic.
I just thought it was funny that Best Buy got this great report card, which is cool. Good for them.
Yeah,
and
great.
Then it's the store that Jack Thompson's getting all mad at.
No kid that we sent into any Best Buy all over the country was able to successfully buy the game.
Successfully.
Freudian slip.
So that means they had a 100% rating. And so you can imagine if they had 100%, then a lot of these other retailers, to get an overall of 48%, then a lot of these other retailers had to be selling a lot of games to kids. We know why Best Buy has that, and that's because they took it seriously. They train their employees. They do their own secret shopper surveys. They don't wait for us to come around in October or November and see if kids can buy games. They do it themselves, and they give the feedback to store managers. So we're identifying that as a retailer best practice. And what we're saying is if they can do it, then the other retailers can do it as well. And so one of the things that we want to do is cite the good example, but also acknowledge that we've slid backwards overall rather than forwards. There are four links in the chain protecting children. Two of them we've talked about, industry practices, the ratings, retailers. Another link, of course, are the parents themselves. And what we found is that we parents, and I'm a parent, and so I include myself in this group, we parents still need to do a better job. Both parents and kids identify that only 40% of American parents understand the ESRB ratings. This is after all of these years.
That's probably only because that 40% of people were interested in understanding the ESRB rules, or regular, whatever the hell they understand. I just don't think they're hard to understand. Maybe if you don't speak English and you're looking at the English explanation, I don't know. It is completely absurd to me to think that anyone with any level of intelligence, like anyone who can physically walk into a store or wheel themselves into a store, are able to understand these ratings, because it's pretty natural. It's got nudity. Oh, it does? I don't like nudity, I don't buy it. It's got violence. Okay, I can understand that. So I don't know what Dave's problem is here.
This is one of the reasons why we're calling for a universal rating system, so there's one system of letters, not an alphabet soup that parents have to try to figure out.
He's stressing it there. It is universal. I don't see anybody else's rating system on games. I mean, there's one for movies and one for games and one for TV, whatever. But again, not that hard to understand. There's three letters. There's E, there's M, there's T. All right, AO you're never going to see. E for everyone, T for teen, M for mature. I didn't need a lot of education there.
Only half of parents have ever stopped their kids from buying a game. These are the parents telling us this, because of a rating. And less than half of the parents have been present the last time their child bought a game. So that makes retailer enforcement very, very important. Now, that's not to let parents off the hook, because they, of course, have an important link in this chain of protection. And so with the behavior, with all of the things that we've talked about, we now come to this year's ratings. Because of all of the information that I gave about the ESRB ratings, we believe that the ratings are broken and need to be fixed. We think that ratings education, while there's been some progress, still has a long way to go. When we asked retailers, do you understand the ratings? The good news is that 97% of retail clerks now understand all of the ratings. The problem is that when we ask them, well, how do you educate the public, they don't have an answer, or we don't, or they have a poster. So there's very, very little in the way of education, a lot of room for improvement there. Retailers' policy is a B. Because that means all of the major retailers now have a policy. The independents, by and large, do not. However, when it comes to retailers' enforcement, that policy grade from a B drops to a D minus, because of the fact that kids are now more able to buy games than they were a year ago at this time. The arcade survey is a B minus. I haven't said much about that. What we found is that most arcade games now have those green, yellow, or red stickers that they agreed to put on the games. The reason that it's not an A is that there's very, very little supervision in arcades, and we observed a lot of kids playing red-coated games. So that's this year's report card. So in conclusion, then, our recommendations. We are, as I've already announced, we are calling for a summit in the first half of 2006, from the, including the national leading national groups, to take a look at ratings.
So I don't know how you guys feel about the report card he gave there. It's not so crazy. I still think they're being really hard on the ESRB. I don't really think it is broken. I think they're bitching about the hot coffee thing, and they're doing it in a very unwarranted fashion. He completely avoided the whole fact that the hot coffee situation was not against any sort of rules, and he pretended that there were rules and that the ESRB should have acted in a different way when they didn't know how to act because they hadn't been introduced to the situation before, and there's really no reason for them to have been. And, you know, just like people are caught off guard in U.S. government with things that happen with wars and whatever, you know, they didn't know how to handle the situation, and I think they were very responsible in seeking out the advice of the people who run their, I don't want to call it a business, but, you know, the ESRB is a group of people, and not one person can just make a decision on the spot. They had to be careful about it because they knew it would affect things in the future, and Dave is just being very harsh, and I think it's unfair. I think they did a fine job. I don't even agree with them changing the rating to AO, so, you know, maybe, what do I know? Maybe I'm just wrong, but I don't think so.
In one quick phone call, the National PTA has already agreed, the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, Children Now has already agreed to participate, and we believe that we will be able to assemble a group of experts to take a look at the ratings and make recommendations. Our second recommendation is for the retailers to live up to their commitment to not sell M-rated games to kids. Our next recommendation is we need to do a better job educating parents. Parents get a double message. On the one hand, in an event like this, we talk about the research that shows that kids are affected by these games, yet they constantly hear from the industry that these games don't affect kids. The industry can't have it both ways. They can't tout books that say that these games are good for kids and excellent teachers and then turn around and say, oh, by the way, they don't have any effect when it comes to violent or inappropriate content. And so I think we have to quit giving parents the double message. Let them know that these games are powerful. There are positive games that they can choose, and they should make appropriate choices.
I'm with him here. That's a pretty valid point, talking about how the video game industry has acted like there's a double standard where, you know, like you said, you can't have your cake and eat it too, or something. You
can't, yeah, make your bed and sleep in it.
Something like that. You know, he's right. You can't say on one hand that...
Oh, they're good for, you know, they help educate people, but they don't make them violent.
Yeah. Exactly. You've got to be careful and agree that, I don't know, he said it all. Why am I repeating it? I'm just saying I agree with him.
He does make a valid point.
The industry needs to be careful about creating a double standard.
And in addition to educating parents, we want to create, because parents are such a key link in the chain of protection.
How about the most important link?
Yeah.
We want to once again re-energize our campaign, what we call MediaWise, Watch What Your Kids Watch. Over the next 10 years, so now we did a little review of the last 10 years. 10 years from today, what we're hoping that we can come and report with Senator Lieberman in 10 years is that our research base has grown. We need to do more research, and the research needs to be good so we can find out both the benefits and the risks that this ever-changing technology brings to our kids. We hope that in the next 10 years, in 10 years from now, we'll be able to say that we have an independent universal rating system that everybody understands, everybody follows, the retailers enforce. We hope that in 10 years, bedrooms are media-free zones. 68% of American kids now have some kind of screen in their bedroom.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Have you seen these commercials now with the new video game system that the parents are all like, you know, don't go to bed before you play your video game.
Oh, yeah.
There's that new educational-only video game unit. It's a handheld thing for kids. Yeah, you're not going to get media out of the bedroom.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
An ex-girlfriend of mine said that, you know, she doesn't want the TV in the bedroom just because it takes away from, you know, what else should be going on in a bedroom. So I'm all for that. But, you know, for teenagers, I don't even know if it's good to get it out. I mean, maybe they should just be playing in the living room, but...
Yeah, well... I don't know. I had a TV in my room. I think I turned out all right. Or maybe, you know, maybe I'm the reason you should not have a TV in your room.
Yes. I would venture to say that that is closer to the truth. Computers, maybe. That the fact that you can, you know, get so much porn and instant message with 40-year-old men
looking to grab the old man, whatever.
Yeah, maybe that'd be a good thing to take out of the bedroom, but TV and video games, well, I don't know. Same argument.
Yeah, they're pretty much the same thing. It's a media outlet that, you know, maybe shouldn't best, you know, be there.
Here's what I want to do. You know the Japanese hotels where you just, you sleep in basically a tube?
Yeah.
You know, little bed and that's it?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be neat. Make that your house. Everything else is one giant living room with just, like, bunk beds on the edge.
That would be nice.
Yeah. That way everybody's all together. Everyone knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
In the family. No secrets.
That's right, especially when you're jacking off.
I'm going to build a special house just like that.
Which means that 68% of American kids now have teachers in their bedrooms. And so part of what we need to do is educate the public about the powerful teachers that we're inviting into our homes and make sure that we know what it is that they're teaching.
Mario taught me how to travel to a new land by climbing into a pipe. I learned that when I was 8.
And then the last hope that we have 10 years from now is that all of us, retailers, the industry, parents together, we will all be much more media wise. We'll all be much more watching what our kids watch. That's this year's report card. I am happy to introduce our partner of the last 10 years, Senator Joe Lieberman, who has helped us bring this issue to the public awareness, not just throughout the country, but literally throughout the world. Senator, thank you very much.
Thanks, David. Well, I'm proud for the 10th year to host Dr. David Walsh as he reports the annual Institute of Media and Family Survey of Video Games. I must say that this year's report is disappointing in many regards. That is to say, the report is not disappointing, but the industry is disappointed in what Dr. David Walsh has found. And I find more than in recent years, or perhaps as a culmination of the reports of recent years, that what Dr. Walsh has told us today is really an indictment of the status quo when it comes to video games. Something's got to change. And generally speaking, why is this important? Why is this important to me as a United States Senator? Dr. Walsh said it, whoever tells the stories defines the culture. But put it in another way, maybe this stretches the term, but video games have become a form of art. And like all art throughout history, they can either educate and elevate, or they can demean and destroy.
I really give kudos to this guy for calling it art. That's all I want to say.
Okay. Is that because Jack says that it's not art?
Well, most, you know, people that are against it, I'm not saying that Lieberman's against video games, but really they want to make violent video games murder simulators. So then they're not really under the jurisdiction of the First Amendment, and they can be banned.
Yeah. You've said that a few times now.
I have. I'm big on that.
Yeah, you can't point me to the reference where you actually read that.
I'll find it. It was from somewhere.
Good. I'm glad to hear your reports come from somewhere.
Those
you know
who
how
are watching, or in this case, playing those games. And the essential facts are that this video game industry has each year become larger and larger. Worldwide, video games are now a $25 billion a year industry. In the United States alone, it comes to almost $10 billion. Video games are now surpassing, in monetary terms, the movies as a dominant form of entertainment. And I worry about that, as I have for these 10 years, because I worry that kids are spending more time playing video games and being involved in other forms of entertainment that have heavy sexual and violent content than they are with their parents, with their teachers, certainly with even with their clergymen and women.
Certainly with their clergymen.
Would you like them to be spending more or less time?
Well, I know. Are they like in the game that Ryan discussed?
Yeah, maybe.
And it is having an effect on them. For my point of view, the research shows this to be the case. I'm going to get in a minute to legislation that I've got in which I think will add to that body of research. But I'm a lawmaker, and the law prohibits violent behavior. It says that you can't resolve conflicts by punching somebody or, at worst, killing somebody. These video games, as you'll see when we show the tape, in fact simulate, with increasingly realistic capabilities, violence against other people, including against authority figures, and I think particularly here of police officers. It's just the worst kind of message to kids, and I think for vulnerable children, it can and has led to terribly violent behavior. The same is true of sexual content. It's a crime to sexually abuse or rape a woman.
I'm in trouble.
Yet, repeatedly, in these video games, the players are being rewarded for doing exactly that. I was struck in the tape that you'll see in a moment that there are truly extreme forms of behavior that are now turning up in the games, including cannibalism.
Oh, my God.
Nate
has a story about this.
You want me to go into it?
Didn't you get a phone call?
Phone call?
From your mom.
Oh, yeah, okay. I had no idea what you were talking about there for a second. Alon had told me about this, and they were getting on the fact that cannibalism was part of what they were going against. And not an hour later did my mom call me up. She just wanted to know what was going on, and she said, "I hope you're not playing any of those games that have the cannibalism. You're not making any of those games that have cannibalism in it, do you?" And I was kind of perplexed on what she was talking about until I saw this, and then I had to call her back and explain to her that everything that you think is wrong, let me explain. So I had a nice, you know, good 45-minute chat explaining how Stubbs the Zombie is not that evil and is actually a bad game. And, you know, they're going after a bad game that no one's going to play.
But even in concept, like, Is she picketing the Evil Dead or Land of the Dead movies? Because it's a zombie.
That has a lot of brain-eating in it as well. And I was trying to explain the concept that, you know, a zombie really isn't a person anymore. So it's not really cannibalism.
It's a monster.
It's a monster, yeah.
But then there is a cannibalism game. They also showed Fear.
They also showed Fear. I'm not as familiar with that background, but I believe the head evil guy that you're after in the game, he's the only one that actually eats people. But he's, like, weird and, like, eats people for some strange reason. Maybe it has to deal with his mental abilities because he controls everyone that you fight.
Now, I haven't discussed my opinions on cannibalism before because I'll probably lose a lot of listeners because I kind of want to try it. But...
Well, I'm going to be going here, folks. We'll see you next week.
I actually have no inherent problem with cannibalism. It's the killing part that I think is a problem.
So you need a dead guy, then.
I'd be all for it. There's all sorts of games that have violence and killing in it, and now your mother is suddenly against the games with cannibalism, but the shooting and the killing
of
officers...
That's not a problem anymore.
No, but eating another human, that's bad
awful.
News. You can eat a cow... You can eat a rabbit or whatever. You could eat... What do we eat? We eat cows and chickens, right?
Yeah.
And turkeys.
And turkeys.
And pigs.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the difference if you eat a person? If you don't have to kill them first, but they're already dead, like that movie, right?
Yeah, I
don't... Dave's giving me the weirdest look right now.
I don't want to eat Steve steaks, okay?
I really want to try person and see what it tastes like. I just don't want to kill anybody for it. I don't want anybody who's been dead for, like, 10 days.
How about this? You cut off your pinky, you fry it on up, and then you eat it, and you see how you like it.
No, I'm not interested. But if it were offered to me, if someone were dead, and I also don't think, you know, in the movie Alive, when they eat these people, which is based on real life, people had problems with eating their family members, right? All right, well, I'm going to mark all these people. I'm not going to eat Aunt Jezebel, and you're not going to eat Brother Bob. You know, we'll eat each other's families.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we'll all get food, and we won't be...
Well, we'll be disgracing our relatives.
I think eating your family members would be the best honor to give your family. Do you see this?
No, I don't. But you explain it to me.
Okay.
You explain so I can understand.
Okay. When you die, normally, if you're smart, you would have set aside a will which would provide things that you had, or money, or both, to your heirs. Right? Now, why do you do this? You do this to promote their well-being. If I have a bunch of money, I want it to go to the people I like. I'm going to give it to my ancestors. Not my ancestors, my descendants.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So grandma dies, leaves you a bunch of money. Let's say in a situation like Alive, grandma dies, right? She's not giving you money there because you're not in a position to take money. She could give you life. She could give you life by you eating her. I think that's a pretty valued gift. I would prefer to eat my family, especially because I have a better idea of where they've been. I would prefer to eat my family than someone else's, even if you're looking at it from a simply a spiritual standpoint. I think it would be honorable.
Right. Alon, when you die, if you ever want to leave me something, don't leave me you.
I just thought I'd jump into this because we talked about cannibalism. I don't have a problem with it in games or anywhere else. I don't have a problem with them even promoting it as a positive life activity. They're not going to do that, though.
I'm glad.
Here's more of the annual
report.
Let's
continue and get off this little tangent that we've had.
Okay.
These games become an assault on the value structure and discipline of our society. So I'm saying that so much that we try to do here as lawmakers, as parents, as family members, to create a good society, particularly for our children, is undercut by the worst of these games. So this is a major effect on our children, a big industry. And as Dr. Walsh has said, it puts out too much garbage that is affecting the minds of our children. This is a big part of the entertainment diet of America's children, and in too many cases, I fear, it is dangerous for their health. Let me just pick out a few of the facts that I found most compelling in Dr. Walsh's survey. 7 out of 10 children report playing M-rated games. This means that 7 out of 10 kids surveyed under the age of 17 report playing games that are supposed to be sold only and played only by kids 17 or older.
Not played. Sold, maybe, but the ESRB, those are guidelines for parents, not who should play them.
Yeah, a lot of places, I brought up this analogy when talking to Nate. I believe most states have a rule, you know, to stop people from smoking, you can't buy cigarettes unless you're 18,
mm-hmm.
right? But there's no law against smoking them. So your parents buy them for you. They think it's okay for you to smoke. You can smoke it legally. You can go out there and smoke right in front of a cop when you're 12, and it's not against the law.
Yep.
Now, I happen to be against smoking and don't think anybody should do it, but that's not really my point. In terms of government...
Yeah, they can't tell you.
Yeah, the rules are set there, like Nate said, as guidelines for purchasing. So the parents don't buy it for the kids if they don't think they should, and the kids don't have access to it without having permission from the parents or someone they pay to pose as a parent. So what Lieberman just said about kids not supposed to be playing these games, it's total bull. You can take your kid into a movie if you deem it okay. You bring him in with you. You can buy the game for him, and nobody says you're not supposed to let him play the game. I think the only rules we have for that, pornography.
Pornography, yeah.
I think is against the law to give to kids, and that's it.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I also disagree with that, by the way.
I think guns, maybe.
Yeah, there's probably ownership rules.
I'm sure there's something like that. Yeah.
But no. There was a kid who brought, like, a shotgun to school once, and
he had
a license.
Right. Yeah.
Purchasing.
Purchasing, yeah.
All right.
Let's continue.
It's adults, 17 and older. So it's not just the amount of money that is being spent, $10 billion a year in the U.S. in a video game industry. It's that children, 7 out of 10 of them surveyed, are playing some of the worst games. The retailer system for enforcing the ESRB ratings is obviously not working as it should. The survey found that 44% of minors in the Secret Shopper survey could purchase M-rated games. I also want to join Dr. Walsh in giving thanks and congratulations to Best Buy for 100% enforcement of the ratings on the games. One of the interesting sub-facts here is that for the first time ever in these surveys, particularly in the secret shopper surveys, girls were found to be able to buy the games, the M-rated games, as easily as boys.
I don't see how that's relevant.
Yeah, for the first time ever. So I bet that a couple years ago they reported on it. They said that there was a difference in the purchasability of these games by, you know, boys and girls. I don't know if the girls were more easily able to get them or less, but I bet they had a problem with the lack of equality, although I didn't hear the report. Now they're saying, well, he's about to say that you shouldn't be proud of that. And that's just, it's just silly.
I just don't see how it's relevant at all.
Yeah, and if we are going to comment on it, I am glad that they're treating the boys and girls the same, because it means that they're not going to let, there's not going to be a way to slip by the retailers. Oh, don't send your little sister in because they'll let the girl buy it, right?
This, I would say, is not a form of equality that we ought to boast about. Only 26% of the children surveyed say that a parent has ever stopped them from getting a video game because of its rating. So only 1 out of 4 of the kids surveyed said their parents have ever stopped them from buying or playing a video game because of its rating. And I do.
So that's a question of parenting, but I got to say, 25% of the parents stopping their kids, way better than I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they are actually taking this into account. And earlier, David Walsh was talking about how only 40% of the people understand the ratings. So if 40% understand the ratings and 25 actually acted on them, it sounds to me that people, it's actually being used quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so what is that, 25 out of 40%? We're looking at 5 out of 8.
Yeah.
So more than half of the people act on it if they understood the ratings. And so he wants people to understand them more. So these statistics would make it look like more than half of the parents would actually stop their kids.
Of course, they don't say it that way, because that would be a good thing.
That makes it sound like parents are actually good. And the truth is that parenting is the problem here. I don't know if you guys were following the stats I just made, but 25%, really good number.
Yeah.
It makes me think, by the way, that the stat he gave earlier about only 40% understand the ratings is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to punctuate another trend here that Dr. Walsh talked about. When we started this in the 90s, and for quite a while in the 90s, only 16% of the M-rated games had any profanity and 33% had sexual content. Today, 100% of M-rated games contain profanity and sexual content, and a lot of it is not just casual. So
we talked about the increase in profanity before. I think profanity sort of sets the line for being a mature game. So that's why 100% would have the profanity.
Yeah. Also, mature, I think, goes with sexual. That's also, it would be 100%. Or I guess it could be, mature would be extreme or ultra violence, like they say.
Yeah. No, but, I mean, the sexual thing, not all games are going to have sexual stuff in them. Right?
True.
But if they do have sexual stuff in them, they'll probably be mature.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I'm not so startled by the fact that 100% of mature games have profanity in them. I mean, I guess.
I'm shocked when 100% of violent games, you know, have beatings in them. I don't like that.
Yeah. Well, I gotta wonder, like, I've played games that don't have profanity and are mature. I think Halo has some profanity in it, but not much.
Not a whole lot.
I don't know. There's a lot of grunting.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Maybe there is some swearing. I'm pretty sure someone says shit somewhere.
I'm sure.
In that game.
I haven't.
But there's got to be lots of games where the developer was like, yeah, you know what? We're not going to swear. So I'd like to know how loose their definition of profanity is.
Oh, he said crap. That's profanity.
It would have been much better if they stated that at the beginning of the report.
So yeah.
This is what pornography means. This is what profanity means. And we're going to say those words a lot, so it's a good thing you understand them up front. But they didn't.
Well, what should we do about it? I want to mention a couple of things that I am involved in with my colleagues here in the Senate to try to do something about this cry for a change and indictment of the status quo that Dr. Walsh has issued. We've been very concerned about the impact on behavior. A lot of studies have been done over the years about violence in entertainment and the effect in inducing more aggressive violent behavior by many children. Not as much, although the body of work is increasing, has been done on sexual content. A group of us, a bipartisan group of senators, introduced legislation. It's now before the Health Committee, Health Education, Labor, and Pensions, to create a center within the Centers for Disease Control, because this has to be viewed as a really a public health problem, to fund that center for independent research of the impact of sexual content material, not just in video games, but in all forms of entertainment. And we are encouraged by contact with the committee to hope that that bill will be reported out after the first of the year. With regard to the disappointing results of Dr. Walsh's survey of retailers carrying out the industry's own rating system, which is to say, obviously, to stop kids from buying adult-rated video games, Senator Hillary Clinton and I are working on legislation, and we hope to have at least one and maybe two Republican Senate co-sponsors that would ensure that all retailers are enforcing the video game industry's own age-based rating system to protect the health and well-being of our children. And what that means is to attach a fine to the failure to appropriately carry out the rating system. I view Dr.
Are you picking up what he's putting down there?
A little bit.
Did he say that they're going to attach an age to the rating, so like an M-rated game can only be sold legally to someone 17 or older? Is that sort of what he's saying?
That's how I was reading it, or seeing it, hearing
all right. I'm not incredibly clear on that. I'm going to admit that up here, right up front. I'm not quite sure what he's saying, but, I mean, clearly he's saying that they're going to attempt to make it legally binding, some rating system. I don't know if he's saying they're going to start a whole new rating system or just add specific numbers to the current rating system. But I did see a comment on it earlier this week somewhere saying that that's not really going to be legal to do. That'll be not constitutional.
Yeah.
To take a private institution like the ESRB and give it government standing. I think... I don't know if it was the ESRB or the ESA that actually wrote a letter and said, basically, we're sort of flattered that you're willing to do that, but we don't think that there should be a law. There shouldn't be anything legally binding, even though we're happy that you'd like to use us that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's also ironic that if it is the ESRB he's talking about, and I think that it was, it's a little strange that they talk about it being so broken and then wanting to use it.
Yeah, I thought it was unrepairable. The first guy, I can't forget.
David Walsh.
David Walsh said that. It was unrepairable. It had to be rebuilt.
Yeah. All right, a little two-faced there.
A little bit.
All right, more Lieberman.
But that's Lieberman saying, not Mr. Walsh.
Yeah, they're working together.
Mr. Walsh's 10th report is a real challenge to a lot of people involved in this. And I'd start with the parents. It's a challenge to parents to pay more attention to the video games your children are playing, because they can be dangerous to your children's health and, incidentally, the health and safety of all the rest of us and our children who live in the same society with those kids. Once again, we urge the producers of video games to exercise restraint, to draw some lines and say, even though I may be able to make some more money by going over those lines, it just isn't worth it in terms of the impact on America's children. Of course, I urge the retailers to do a much better job at enforcing the industry's own rating system than Dr. Walsh's survey shows. And I urge the ESRB to respond to Dr. Walsh's very direct challenge and conclusion that the current rating system is simply not working. And actually, in Dr. Walsh's opinion, cannot even be fixed. I will say that the legislation that Senator Clinton and I are preparing will call, in addition for the penalties that I described a moment ago, for the Federal Trade Commission to do, and the General Governmental Accounting Office to do an assessment of the existing ESRB rating system and see what their reaction to it is. And look, bottom line, a good childhood in all ages and all eras has included some healthy games and fantasy. There's nothing wrong with that. But when fantasy and the games are steered toward extreme violence and sexually demeaning and destructive behavior, then there's a lot wrong with that. And unfortunately,
these aren't children's games, though. These are games meant for adults, being that they have, you know, the M rating.
I think perhaps his point is we need to actually make the ratings effective. So, yeah, they are for adults. Now we have to make sure that only adults are playing them.
Yep.
I don't think he's saying that the game shouldn't be made. He's just upset that the games are getting into kids' hands. So, yeah. Parenting, again, the key.
That would be nice.
Mr. Walsh shows that in this video game industry, there is still a lot wrong that needs everybody to work together to make better. Thank you very, very much.
Finally, before we see the video, Stephen Kent, who's a nationally syndicated video game reviewer, has joined us every year. We'll make some comments.
I'd like to start just by saying that I'm very much in awe of Dr. Walsh and Senator Lieberman, and not just because they fit around the table so much more easily than I do. Obesity really is an issue these days.
Yeah, so Stephen Kent, not a super slim guy, not particularly fat, though. Really, just doesn't make very good jokes. He'll do that a few times here. I do want to mention, I believe Stephen Kent may be a pretty religious guy. I know that Lieberman is definitely religious. He's quite a Jew. I don't think that really affects his opinion in too many ways. But he definitely is he's got a lot of moral backbone in him. And I actually respect that. I think that's cool. Like I said before, I think I said it before anyway, that he's a sincere guy. And so even if he made legislation making it harder to get games or whatever, I'm generally for the man and for Lieberman and what he's doing, because I've always thought that if any politician cares about what they're doing, then they'll be a good politician. So I'm all for it, even though he might be stretching things a little bit far with his video game legislation. So, yeah, Stephen Kent, I noticed, went to Brigham Young University, so he may be a pretty big Mormon, and you'll see he sort of pushes for video game legislation, and I think some of that might be stemming from his religious background. I just wanted to make sure everyone was clear on that.
You know, for 10 years, Senator Lieberman has been here fighting for something. Sometimes it's been in political vogue, and it's been good. But when it hasn't been in political vogue, when it's been an easy issue to ignore, he's still been here. It's because he really believes in what he's doing. I believe in what he's doing. Dr. Walsh has been an even-handed force for good, in my view. And not only in my view as a parent, my 9-year-old son Nico is here today, but also in my view as a gamer. Now, before I get started, I have a different concern than Dr. Walsh or Senator Lieberman. We all view video games as a media for kids. We think about Pac-Man. We think about Mario. My biggest concern right now is if the ESA numbers are true, kids are being shut out of the video game market. Because what we're seeing now is that so many of the big games, even if they are E-rated, John Madden NFL is perennially one of the best-selling games out there. It's E-rated, but it doesn't mean it's for kids. I have a movie called Shoes of the Fisherman about a man who becomes Pope. It's a G-rated movie. My son can't watch it. He gets bored to death.
All right, Stephen Kent's analogy here, I think the point he's making is actually really good, that kids are getting shut out of games, but the analogy he's making is really bad.
Really bad, yeah.
Just said, this movie's not for the kid because the kid gets bored, and then he goes on to say, these games aren't for kids just because they're not good for kids.
Yeah. And I don't think kids are getting bored by fear and stuff like that.
Yeah. It surprises me that of the three people that are talking in this report, Stephen Kent has the hardest time expressing himself, yet he's the journalist.
a lot of these games that are E-rated games, because they don't necessarily have bad content, still aren't appropriate for kids. The good news is this year there was no Manhunt, there was no Grand Theft Auto type Titanic seller, there wasn't a Leisure Suit Larry type game that got big.
There were a lot of Leisure Suit Larrys before this, just as raunchy, if not more so.
No. This one is the first one that actually had nakedness.
No, there was nakedness in the other ones.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you had, in all the old Leisure Suit Larrys, you always had to take a little quiz so it could gauge your age every time you played.
I don't know about all, because I played one and it never asked me that stuff.
Well, I don't know. The ones that I played always had it, so I'm not sure about all of them, but okay. The majority of them that I played.
Let me tell you, even if there was nakedness, it was not nearly as graphic in detail.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot of, it was very pixelated nakedness, but the fact is, it was in there, and it was pretty raunchy.
Yeah, I'm not even sure, like, I played the one on Xbox, but I played the Hacksword version that didn't have the sensor bars on it and whatever, so I have a hard time gauging how much Leisure Suit Larry did show off, because I went and took those extra steps to hack it, so I don't know what the real retail version's like.
I think the retail version, you get the breastises, but...
Yeah, I think you get boobs, but the rest of it's taken out.
Yeah.
All right.
Headlines, because it pushed the sexual barriers... This year, there have been some very well-made violent games, Gun comes to mind, that haven't sold well. The market has spoken. The market has said, we like some of these blockbusters, we don't like some of these other ones. The 50 Cent game comes to mind, or The Suffering. They came, they sold a little bit, they disappeared. The market has spoken on some of these violent games. Now, the next thing, and this is a very good moment for Senator Lieberman and Senator Clinton if they want to push ahead, and that is that you're going to see a very soft market over the next 10 months.
This is the first time he mentions this. He's going to mention it again later in a more direct way. He's basically saying, as a video game journalist, someone you usually don't hear touting the goodness of litigation, or of legislation, I mean, he's basically turning to Lieberman saying, hey, make some laws.
Right now, and make them good so that you won't have any opposition in a few years.
Yeah, I like laws, and I don't know, that just seems, it's not bad that he's the only one saying this, but it's interesting to hear a journalist say, make laws that restrict the purchasability of games. I haven't seen this happen yet. Well, I guess we said it.
Yeah.
I said that laws wouldn't be so bad, but in general, I'd love to see it happen without laws. It would be fantastic.
I almost strictly want it without laws. I don't think we need them.
Yeah, the only reason I want to do
aspect,
it...
I'm not saying we should have no laws at all, but in that particular area, I think we can do without.
The only reason I'm for it is to stop all this bickering and let the government screw it up so that they don't complain to the private industries because they're screwing it up.
Approximately.
Well, then they'll see how they're
Xbox
doing such a good
360
job.
Is launched. There is no killer app. There is no game with Xbox 360 that is a must-have. There's some good games, some very good games, a lot of very pretty games, but there is no Mario, there is no Halo. And so what happens to the market is, if you don't have an Xbox 360, you quickly realize there's no reason to spend $400 to buy one. But if you have an Xbox or a PlayStation 2 or a GameCube, well, it's pretty hard to be excited about those consoles right now with the 360 looming out there. So look for a weaker market over the next few years. This means that legislation can be put into place with less resistance, and that's a good thing.
No! God damn it! No, it's not a good thing! Use this time where nobody's looking to get the laws in. Nobody's watching. Flip it in, Lieberman. Go, go, go.
Also, I think we've been distracted a little bit this summer by hot coffee. Hot coffee was a reprehensible thing. Hot coffee was if you put in a code, which was not an easy code to put in.
So he said,
finally, someone says that.
Yeah. He says it's reprehensible. I still don't think it was that big a deal, but you should pay attention here. Stephen Kent is finally doing what David Walsh very deliberately did not do earlier in this report, and like I said, it sucks because I know that all the reporters are just going to use the sound bites and the quotes from David Walsh and make the same implications on their shows and in their newspapers that hot coffee was this bastion of evil, when in fact it was nearly impossible to get access to these things, and I'm sure that less than 5% of the people ever did. I certainly don't know anyone, literally, and I host a friggin' radio show.
Yeah.
I don't know a single person who has made hot coffee work. I have not even done it. It was too annoying to do. I just looked at pictures of it on the net of other people doing it.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, that's... And I'm the sort of person to do that stuff. Clearly.
You could reach interactive pornography on the game Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. It got a lot of headlines, which really was...
You could reach it on God of War, too. Don't see them really getting on that, either.
Is it pornographic scenes if it's only heard?
It's an auditory pornographic.
I don't know. It's not pornography, generally speaking.
Is it?
If you don't see it.
Really?
But it's certainly the same concept.
It's implicit.
Yeah. It's the same idea.
Yeah.
It is imagined. Anyway.
Take Two Interactive wanted. But the thing was, it was very hard to put in. The vast, vast majority of Americans, even if they knew the term hot coffee, would not have been able to access that interactive pornography. But it brings up a very important thing. I am not for a universal rating system. I am very much for a universal labeling system.
First time we've heard this, not so crazy an idea.
Actually, a very good idea.
He doesn't, I don't think, do a very good job of expressing what he means. I think what he's saying is, screw the ratings, the letters, the numbers, and just make it very clear on the box what it has in it, so people can decide for themselves. Now, the problem here is that he's working with Lieberman and Walsh, and they really want to have legislation, and you got to have a rating to have a legislation.
Yeah.
Although, really, a labeling system is the same. It's just a more complicated rating, because that just means you have 50 different ratings.
And the whole back is covered up with what is exactly in the game that's bad or
questionable. What would happen is, if it had the nudity label, then you know you'd have to be 18 or older to buy it. I mean, I'm guessing here that the government could say, okay, you have to be 18 to buy something that has nudity content, the nudity label, or, you know, you have to be 17 to have something that has the blood and gore label on it. And so it would just make for a very convoluted legislation.
Which would be even harder to understand, and then you would have the parents that would maybe even want to know, but have no idea how to read it. It's like, so what's the blood symbol and the lady symbol mean?
Yeah. Interestingly, the ESRB actually has the best of both of these worlds already. You see, they have the rating system with the letter on the front, which makes it very clear at your first view or when you're looking at the box cover on the internet. You can see, well, hopefully you can see the rating on the internet, that it's E, T, or M. And when you flip it over the back, then you get a relatively detailed description of what's in the game via labeling.
But as we've already heard, the ESRB is broken and beyond repair.
Yes, they have so many problems. They only do everything these people want.
Parent, the way you rate a movie is different than the way you rate a game, because the amount of violence you're going to see in a 40-hour game is vastly more than what you will find quantitatively.
Quite elegant for a journalist.
In a movie. But parents seem unwilling to grasp E, M, T, A, O. They just seem to ignore it.
Because they don't care, not because they can't figure it out.
Because they're not very good parents. Good parents do know and do care.
Well, I don't know. My mother was willing to let me have mature games, and I think she was a fine parent. Sherry, the Target lover, might not think that my mother is a great parent, but... You know, I never even talked about that I had the discussion with my mother about the email that Sherry sent.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe we skipped over that.
You missed that?
Oh, well. Anyway.
I'll go next week.
Yeah. So, I don't think you're a bad parent if you don't pay attention to the ratings. Although, I think my mom probably paid attention to them anyway, but would still let me have it.
Oh, well, yeah.
So,
If you feel that your child can handle, that, then
which basically means... If your child's not insane, he can play Halo. Hell, we let him watch the news at night. Why not let him play a game which isn't as violent as what's on TV?
Parents already know intuitively what G, PG, PG-13, and R mean.
And that's just silly. It's not intuitive. It was taught. And in fact, I see no reason...
No, at birth, I knew what G, PG,
I have no reason to believe that the movie rating system is in any way better than the system developed by the ESRB. It's just different letters. That's all. And it's only a few of them.
The MPAA currently has said to the game industry, no, you may not use our labels. It might be a great time for Senator Lieberman to give them a call and say, you should share your labels. Either that, or you can adopt E, M, and T, but they need to share labels.
If parents could figure out E, M, T after it's applied to movies, they should be able to figure it out when it's applied to games.
Well, no, it would be different because now it's applied to two things, so it would be easier to grasp.
Maybe it's that, well, the parents watch the movies.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Just going very quickly, there have also been some other very positive movements. Microsoft is leading the way with 360. When you set up your 360, it asks you to set the ratings level so that you cannot run an M-rated game on a...
If I set my 360 to AO, I won't be able to play any adult-only games because 360 will not make any...
Wait for it. Right, we'll hear him tell us that.
Okay.
On a 360. You can set it so that the parents decide what rated games can run on it. That's a very positive thing.
This is, of course, assuming that the kid doesn't have access to the manual with the code
yes.
that tells you how to unlock your 360, which I assume is in the manual because I can't read it since no one will sell me one.
And in the past, you had to practically, if you wanted to put a rating system on your game system, on your console, you practically had to reprogram the thing. The parental controls on 360 are superb. Also, Microsoft has pledged that there will never be any AO-rated games that will run on 360.
This is what you were talking about.
Yeah.
I had never heard this previous to Stephen Kent
mentioning
it.
I'm not sure what press release this came out. Maybe we missed it. But it seems very strange to me. Not too strange that Microsoft would do it, but the fact is that they said, okay, we're going to put this system in, so the 360, you're not going to let your kids play games that you don't want them to, and yet they, conveniently take out just one section,
Yeah. Maybe if you remind me, I'll remember to call the Microsoft PR firm and ask about that, because I had never heard anywhere that Microsoft wasn't allowing AO games to run. And the funny thing is, I think what's happening is he's just wording it wrong, because it has nothing to do with the system. He's going to go on in a second to say that they discovered some magical way to restrict AO games from running. But you know what? All the companies that have video game hardware, they have to license the game in order to let it even be created. To let it be made onto a disc that'll run in the system, they have to give their okay. So Microsoft probably just isn't going to license any AO games. Has nothing to do with the hardware, has nothing to do with the programming.
That they will block that. That's a really important thing, because Sony came out and said, well, people are going to make X-rated or pornographic movies for the PSP, the PlayStation Portable. There's nothing we can do to stop them.
This is another thing that he has all screwed up. Sony never came out and said anything about porno movies, to my knowledge. I did see some press releases about how companies were going to release porn movies for the UMD format, and that, by the way, is because Sony was licensing them to do so.
Well, I heard it a different way. They weren't necessarily licensing them, although I guess they would have to for it to run on the PSP, but, Sony was just not really going to look that direction when those came out.
Well, they have to give their okay. They were allowing porn movies to be made on UMDs. Now, maybe he's talking about running the standard video that you can run from a memory stick.
Maybe.
But, of course, how the hell are you going to be able to find it, analyze the video to make sure that a boob can't come on?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Plus, I'm sure that a lot of the movies they sell will have nudity in it. And so then it's subjective. Well, how much is too much? And if it's released in the theater, is that okay? But, if it's a porn movie that's XXX, maybe we won't allow that. And it's just silly. As far as I understand, they're actually licensing the porn movies to be released. So what Stephen Kent here is saying about pirate stuff is completely wrong.
Apparently Microsoft has found a way to stop them. And I find it interesting that Sony can't find a way to stop pornographic pirates, because they sure have worked hard to stop people from putting pirated games on their other systems.
I just can't get over how absurd these things are that he's saying. He has no proof of what he's talking about, and he's not backing it up it just says Microsoft has some way to stop AO. Yeah, don't license the game. And when it comes to playing video from the memory stick, of course you can play whatever you want, as you should be able to play whatever you want. When it comes to UMDs, I'm pretty sure they're licensing that content and allowing it.
I'm going to have to look it up because I did read about it, but being me, I've forgotten lots of the details except for the main stuff. But I think they're less licensing it and more just not, you know, they're being made and they're not really looking in that direction and just kind of letting it happen.
No, but I mean, it has to be licensed. You have to have special code on the disc, I think. I mean, that's how all the other PlayStations have worked.
Is it like a movie UMD might be different?
No. The movie UMD is software.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to look it up.
It's really hot in here. I'm sorry.
This is him doing a very bad and unfunny joke.
He's taking off his jacket, and his shirt has a burn mark on it.
I wanted to talk about the ESA and the ESRB for a second, because they look really good on the surface. But
why don't you take their jacket off?
Things look a little burned.
So apparently what he decided to do was ruin one of his nice shirts with an iron so he could make a very unfunny joke.
Yeah, we were both not impressed.
The ESA, and especially the ESRB, either need to step up to the plate or you need to step out of the way. Because from what I saw, the ESRB was cowering like a bunch of mice when hot coffee happened.
Wouldn't you, if you were suddenly introduced to a situation
that you were unfamiliar with, and then suddenly everyone and their mother was attacking you for no apparent reason?
Yeah, and cowering like mice, you know what? When the government is faced with a problem, they convene, the Senate, like Lieberman. They convene, and they then make decisions based on lots and lots of discussion. I think that's very much what the ESRB did, and so to be running around like mice is silly. In fact, just recently, some House, Congress, or Senate, or whatever, decided to have a closed-door session about something, right? That means they didn't want people watching. So the ESRB said, we're going to quietly discuss this among ourselves so we're not swayed by all the other people who have their ideals, right? And I think they handled it just fine, and they're being attacked by Lieberman, Walsh, and Kent, who doesn't have any place to attack them anyway, and it's unreasonable, because I think they did a fine job.
Now, this is the United States. We don't believe in post-facto laws. You cannot punish Take-Two for what they did before the law existed.
This is something that David Walsh apparently didn't understand when he
then
made his statements earlier.
Yeah, he would very much like to punish after the fact.
Yeah, ex post facto, not a part of his vocabulary. But Stephen Kent, I do respect that he's making sure these things are at least out there at some point in this annual video game report, even though he's doing it in such an ambiguous way that no one understands his point, since he hasn't made a reference to hot coffee in a few minutes.
Yeah.
But where is the ESRB? Where are they now that they should be promising this will never happen again? They should come out and they should say, anybody who fools us in the future, we are doing a 2-year moratorium. We will not rate your games for 2 years if you try to slip something past us. And if the SRB does not have a rating on a game, retailers will not carry it. That is a threat that carries teeth.
I'm not so opposed to this.
That sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about the length of time, but the moratorium is just a good idea. Like, okay, if they do screw up, make some huge mistake, which is against rules that are actually in play, then yeah, don't rate their games for a while as a punishment. I think that's a valid response.
That sounds fine to me.
But definitely that rule needs to be on the books before it's enforced, just like Stephen Kent is saying. I agree with him here.
Unless you're David Walsh, then you want to do it after the fact.
If you're David Walsh, you just you take matters into your own hands without reason to think that someone should have known to act.
Yeah.
Oh, they should have just known.
They should have just known that.
Yes.
And to the ESA, I hear so much about how they believe in the rating system, but about half of the press releases I get out of the Entertainment Software Association are telling me how they have overturned this state law to put teeth behind the rating system or this state law. If they believe in the rating system, enforce it. Stand by what you're saying.
Yeah, mixed feelings about this. I'd prefer there not be laws all over the place to define every little step we take in life.
Yeah.
But at the same time, since there has been so much controversy over it, I'm not so against having a law based on the ratings just to quit all the bickering and set the rules forth. Hey, if it's M, you can't sell it to a kid. If it is an older person, then sure, sell it. I'd love to just have the rule in place for convenience sake and to have these people shut the hell up. But if we could do it without laws, that'd be fantastic.
Last thing I want to talk about, and we're going to do a little math here very quickly, is in 1985, Nintendo resurrected the video game industry by bringing out the Nintendo Entertainment System. They sold it primarily to 8 to 12-year-olds in 1985, okay? 8 to 12. 1989, Sega came out with the Sega Genesis. In 1993, Senator Lieberman over here hauled them before a joint session because of Mortal Kombat. And Sega said, look, it's not for 10-year-olds. The majority of our users are 16. Well, if you were 16 in 1993, how old were you in 1985? Okay? Then, in 1995, Sony came out with the PlayStation. And in 1997, Sony announced that the majority of PlayStation owners were 18 or 19.
So I think, after he said a bunch of other things, now he's explaining what he meant when he said that children are getting squeezed out of gameplay.
He's finally explaining why.
Yeah. I also think earlier when David Walsh said that most video, like PS2 owners were 24 and above or something, or some relatively high age, I think that's sort of invalid because the person who buys the system, you know, a lot of people play one system. So to say that, yeah, I'm 26, I own a PS2, I could have a 10-year-old in my house playing it, to say the owner represents the player, I think is inaccurate. So I'm not terribly concerned because I know a lot of kids play games. I don't think anyone's really getting squeezed out.
Yeah.
But I think that the producers of games realize that a game that appeals to someone who's older also appeals to the kids. And so changes would probably be made if real restrictions existed. If we really thought that a kid couldn't get their hands on an M game, I think you would see a greater prevalence of T and E games because kids are a very important demographic. They just think that M now means everybody.
Yeah.
And in that respect, I mean, I think that really defends what these guys are saying, actually, that we need to stop having so many mature games because kids get them.
Okay. You see, it's the same group is moving along, plus a smaller group is tacking on behind them. Kids are being shut out. Now, last year, if you ask Sony and Microsoft, Sony will tell you the average PlayStation 2 owner, they've said 26. Might be 25, might be 24, but they're moving up in age. So are the Xbox users. Now, again, kids are...
All right, maybe David never said it. Maybe I was just imagining it because I knew Steven was going to say it. That's what I meant, though, because he just gave the stat about old PS2 owners.
Yeah, I'm not sure if David Walsh said that or not.
I made that up.
Yeah.
They are still coming in. They are playing games, but the efforts to make games for kids are dropping off. Nintendo is still working hard on it. But Microsoft hasn't. Sony's come out and said the majority of their games in the future are going to be culturally relevant. That's a euphemism for adult games. Okay? Now, my warning...
Bring on the porn.
Senator Lieberman is, if you're going to make laws for gamers, you better do it now, and you got to do a good job.
This is ridiculous. I can't believe he's turning to a senator and saying... Make the laws, dude.
Yeah, because pretty soon these gamers now will be old enough to actually challenge you.
Yeah.
Because those 26-year-olds are going to be sitting next to you pretty soon on the floor of the Senate. They're getting to that age. They're getting into their 30s now. They're voting. So if you're going to make laws, you got to make good laws.
God forbid you should have someone who actually play the games someone who plays the games, who involved in the process,
you know, about games and how they work, writing the laws. Now, we really should have people that are very objective and not really knowing too much about them.
I want just 80-year-olds who don't know how to hold a controller making the rules that tell me how I can play a game. I think that's really the best way to handle it.
That seems fair to me.
Yes.
And you got to make them now, because pretty soon they'll be in a place to argue with you right on the floor.
And we don't want that.
Good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
I think we're done, everybody. They're about to start showing the videos, which, like I said, we're not going to play for you guys. What's interesting, though, is that all the videos have swears in them, basically.
Except for Stubbs, which doesn't have any swearing in it.
Exactly. It does have a lot of blood.
Blood and gore.
Shooting from the head.
Yeah.
We're both a little bothered by the fact that they're having such an issue with cannibalism, and they use Stubbs as this big example. Anyway, this has run so incredibly long. We're going to cut it now. I think today's podcast is approaching 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it's the longest we've ever done.
It's 3 times the length of our normal show. So I hope you've enjoyed it. This was show 99.
Next week will be show 100, and we will not be on the air. So that'll be great.
Next week, again, podcast only. So look for an extra long show, I guess in celebration of
We'll be drinking.
Show in week 100. We're approaching 2 years, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Check out Chatterbox Game Show if you want to learn more about it, if you want to go on the forums. And also, you know, feel free to email us if you have any questions.
I always like to email. I don't get any.
Or comments. And that's it. Or you can tell us about your love life. We've been getting some of that, too.
We've been getting some of that, too,
Nate, he gets all the fun emails.
I get all the fun emails.
And doesn't forward them to me. All right, we'll be here next week, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Later.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info in the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass are belong to us.